Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance whenever we're able. We do routines, and order scenes, and footwork in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more mid-able. So many times we give and rise to our quite something able. We're off the mad in Camelot. We sing from the diaphragm alone.
I have to push the pram a lot.
No, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot.
Ma'am, sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh! How'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
Oh, didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
But if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help, I'm being repressed,
bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Do you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Hear ye, hear ye. King Shazir the Terrible. All rise for King Shazir the Terrible and the Knights of the Round Table.
If I were the devil, if I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness, and I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree, thee. So I'd set about however necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. and the old I would teach to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing.
Paul Harvey.
There's something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop. Children, watch that sound. Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. The time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street singing songs and carrying signs. Mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Into your life it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop now, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop.
Table. Hello, everybody. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table with old King Shazuz the Terrible, and we also have Barbara. Say hi, Barbara.
Hey, everybody. It's always good to be here.
Cool. I'm going to play a couple little podcasts because I want to try to set the mood, I guess, for the show. I want to just put a different idea out there for people. Maybe some people's already thought about it, but nonetheless, let's go with this thing. Starting off with the War of the Worlds deal here.
How do we know that something happened? That what we're seeing is real? That we're not being fooled by fate? Some TV trickery is pretty familiar to us. This technology, green screen or color separation overlay, has been around in some form for decades. It allows us to convincingly give real people backdrops and virtual worlds for them to interact with. However, we're about to cross the threshold into a new world where it's possible to convincingly recreate known real people, famous people like politicians, have them say and do more or less anything.
We're a few years, but not many years, away from a situation now where we can not only sort of create pretty sort of realistic environments for people, but we can also do things like manipulate their voices and manipulate their facial expressions and modulate their speech in real time.
Here we demonstrate our method in a live setup.
This is the Face to Face project, a collaboration between Stanford University, the Max Planck Institute, and the University of Erlangen-Nuremberg.
As we can see, we are able to generate a realistic and convincing reenactment result.
They can take the facial expressions of one person and map them onto the features of another in real time. The results are already amazing and only going to get better and better.
It seems that they are being developed with a specific ethical framework that help them to actually assess, before the technologies are developed, the actual implications of the technology in society. It is the perfect environment for fake news, for a widespread dissemination of fake news.
We've had faked photos for decades. This hugely damaging image of John Kerry supposedly sharing a stage with Vietnam protester Jane Fonda was actually a composite of two images. Now the company that invented Photoshop, Adobe, has unveiled a new potentially game-changing manipulation tool. At this event in November, Adobe demonstrated Voco, which, loaded with just 20 minutes of real sample voice, can then make someone say anything just by typing it in.
And playback!
And I kissed Jordan 3 times.
Adobe say the altered audio will be watermarked so that fakes are easy to spot, but that may not stop them spreading.
Often the things that we see as fake news or false stories are actually very easily debunked in a matter of seconds, but it doesn't necessarily stop them from spreading, partly because I think the mechanisms now are so quick in terms of how virality is created online, but also because people believe what they want to believe.
But is there a flip side to this technology? If it makes the fake seem real, what does it do to our perception of the real? Will it allow those intent on deceiving us to dismiss cold, solid, hard video evidence as mere trickery?
Can you stay categorical?
It becomes a term which can, again, just be very sort of used by anyone who wants to call out something that they don't like and spread doubt about whether or not it's true. And when you have a high level of distrust in stories and you have a high level of distrust in institutions, which we do at the moment, then a term like fake news becomes almost meaningless because it's deployed in so many ways which actually describe things that are perfectly legitimate and true.
We've grown more sophisticated in our ability to discern what and who is real. However, accelerating technological change means we'll need to quickly refine how we weigh the evidence of our senses.
Doctor! I'm flying!
Okay, I sort of played that one out of order, but let me try this again.
Columbia Broadcasting System and its affiliated stations present Orson Welles and the Mercury Theater on the air in The War of the Worlds by H.G. Wells.
When Orson Welles' electrifying adaptation of War of the Worlds aired on the radio 80 years ago, it was said to have sent Americans running into the streets in panic, believing Martians were attacking Earth. But did it really cause mass hysteria? What happened, and where did the story of panicked listeners come from? We have the facts. In 1938, the U.S. was a country on edge, due to years of economic depression and the winds of war swirling in Europe. This was the setting when Welles and his troupe took to the air with a faux show featuring a report of an explosion on Mars leading to a Martian invasion. Intermittent simulated news bulletins and music all based off H.G. Wells' 1898 science fiction novel, The War of the Worlds.
This radio show that, according to all the reports, had sent untold thousands, hundreds of thousands, maybe even millions who knew listeners fleeing their homes, grabbing shotguns, loading their family in the car and taking off for the hills because they believed that Martians had landed in Grover's Mill, New Jersey.
Americans woke up to their papers the next morning to see headlines about a radio program that had sown terror and panic across the country. The Associated Press included reports like, Pittsburgh, a man returned home in the middle of the broadcast and found his wife with a bottle of poison in her hand saying, I'd rather die this way than like that. Indianapolis, a woman ran into church screaming, New York destroyed. It's the end of the world. The Washington Post reported one Baltimore listener died of a heart attack during the broadcast, but no one followed up on the story to provide further details. The New York Times, whose front page headline blared, Radio Listeners in Panic, taking war drama as fact, pushed mass hysteria. And it was the sharing of these reports that spread fear. But there was one problem. Almost nobody was fooled by Welles' broadcast.
It really was the 1938 version of clickbait.
Schwartz says only a small fraction of the supposed millions who heard the broadcast believed it in some fashion. People are more likely to believe in false reports that agree with the fears, beliefs, and prejudices that they perhaps already have, according to a Northwestern University study.
It's the power of this being spread by people that you know and trust. The sharing of these very divergent reports of what this might be that led to a relative handful of pockets of hysteria scattered all over the country.
War of the Worlds served as one of the first dramatic demonstrations of how media persuasion works.
In popular culture, it tends to be the narrative that, well, people in the 1930s believed whatever they heard on the radio. They were very gullible. Certainly, we would never fall for something like that. We are no more protected from media persuasion or being fooled in the age of social media than people were back then, and I think in many ways we're more vulnerable now.
One modern-day example of this phenomenon was in January 2018. When Hawaiians were sent scrambling after emergency alert notification warned of a ballistic missile threat, which turned out to be an error. The state of Hawaii even sounded off nuclear war sirens. About a half hour later, Representative Tulsi Gabbard of Hawaii tweeted the first message was false. When it comes to War of the Worlds, did some people believe the broadcast? Yes. But was it an instance of mass hysteria overtaking tens of thousands of people throughout the U.S.? The evidence shows otherwise.
During a public protest Monday, spurred by racial tensions and other issues, the University of Missouri students blocked reporters from taking photos or interacting with demonstrators. Some went as far as manhandling photographers' equipment, even pushing them. Hello, I'm Lauren Green. Welcome to Bias Bash. Joining me now with more on why the media is being challenged is Talk Radio News Network Bureau Chief and Fox News contributor Ellen Ratner. Very interesting stuff, because as journalists, we kind of get, ooh, that shouldn't be happening.
But why would you stop a journalist from taking a photo or interviewing or manhandling their equipment or womanhandling their equipment, however you want to say it? Because, first of all, the University of Missouri is one of the top journalism schools in the country.
Absolutely.
So there should be some rules, and we were just talking off camera about rules are there for not when you want them to be, but when you don't want them to be. And the rules are that journalists take pictures. We document what's going on. This did not happen because the students did this. What does this mean for free speech on campus?
I worry about the professors, though, because the professor was one of the, Professor Click, I think it was one of the people who actually calling for muscle to get the camera, the journalist out of there. And it also brings to the point that, you know, who are these people teaching the students? I mean, they should be the ones to say, no, they have a right to be here. Not only that, they were the ones calling for the media to be there when the protest was in its infancy.
Well, who's that guy? I always block on his name. He always does the videos. He did the Planned Parenthood video. Anyway. Okay. So where is he when we need him on this one? Because, I mean, even though he's a right-winger, I'm a left-winger, but this is not the kind of thing that you want to see going on in terms of free speech, and I'd really like to see the press cover this issue more. Interview the professor again, interview the students, ask them what they understand the rules of journalism to be, and are we turning into Egypt?
Well, this is, I have to go back there because, you know, one of the things that really has saddened me about this whole situation is because, as you say, Missouri is one of the top journalism schools in the country. It's one of those things where you can't get into, you know, Missouri, you want to get in there because they're really great, or Medill, or Columbia. And wondering who are the professors teaching these students, and where are they coming from?
What are they teaching them?
And what are they teaching them?
And do they abide? I happen to be Truth and Honesty or whatever here. I'm on the American Advisory Board of Reporters Without Borders, and this is a grave concern to us because if you're going to stop free speech and people watching what you're doing. Journalists, which is what we do for a living, on a college campus in the United States of America, this is not Egypt, this is not Iraq, this is not Iran, this is America.
What can the media actually do in response to this?
Well, I think the media needs to, one, interview the various professors. I think they should interview, they have pictures of the students who put their hands up and who manhandled equipment. And I think you need to interview them and ask them what they understand free speech is. Do they understand what journalism is?
One of the things one of the students said in that exchange there, and you see her passion, you see her emotion, and the photographer is saying, listen, I have a right to be here. This is my First Amendment right. And then she said something, well, what about humanity? This is about a humanity issue. It's almost as if they have really two different tracks. You've got an intellectual, I understand these laws, but then you've got this sort of visceral response, emotional response, and these two just do not go together. You know, how can, as a professor or as a, you know, journalist, you know, how would you explain these to these people?
I would again show them some of our journalist ethics rules. They're in the press club in Washington, D.C. I don't know what's here in the press club in New York because I haven't been there, but in Washington, D.C., they're on the walls. Mm-hmm. So people sign on to them, journalists sign on to them, and hopefully the public will too.
Yeah, well, that's very interesting. Well, we'll see how this plays out because I remember in the New York Times article, they mentioned nothing about the protest they mentioned the protest, but not that the journalists were kept out. They did not mention that at all. I thought it was very interesting. And that's not a good sign for the New York Times.
No, it is not.
All right. Thanks so much, Alan. If you want to hear more media analysis on this topic, catch Media Buzz with Howard Kurtz, Sundays at 11 a.m. Eastern, and again at 5 p.m. Eastern on the Fox News Channel. I'm Lauren Green, and thanks for watching.
Okay, I got two more short ones. If I can get to them.
Now, Dan Gaynor from the Media Research Center. Hi, Dan.
Hey.
All right, so CNN is telling us, you know, people just started gathering in the streets, that this came out of nowhere. What's the truth?
Well, the truth is the left has been rioting, burning, vandalizing, attacking people for years. This is not new. Occupy Wall Street. 7,700 arrests for everything from violence to arson to, you know, creating chaos. Then you've had Black Lives Matter, Ferguson, hands up, don't shoot. They've been doing this for years, and the media treat it like it's no thing. They downplay it. They don't want to talk about the bad. Then they try to portray Trump supporters as violent, even when they're the victims of attack.
So double standard, yet again.
Or it's the one standard. Everything the left does is great. Everything the right does is wrong.
You know, I'm amazed this whole process, how the media has just gone on this attack. And you know what, Dan? People see through it. People like the folks in Ohio, the ones that just lost their job that Capri Kapar was telling us about, they see through it. And, you know, for whatever reason, the media, they fueled this kind of anarchy while simultaneously leaving the rest of America completely out. Why do you think that is?
Well, because they are just as angry as the protesters. This is a national temper tantrum.
And their computer.
You know, right. This is a national temper tantrum. The digital way of doing it is to cover it, to write about it, to tweet about it. And that's what journalists are doing. They're promoting this with stuff by promoting the stories of not my president, the stories about, oh, well, Trump only won the Electoral College. He's the fifth president to win the Electoral College only. And that's still a little unclear whether he will be or not.
You know what, Dan, I think also contributes to this, because I've spent a lot of time scratching my head saying, how is it that my colleagues, you know, on the other side of town, are so out of touch with how people really feel and what's going on out there? And I think part of it is the loss of local media. I mean, you think about newspapers all over the country, and they used to have a morning edition, they had an afternoon edition, and employed a lot of people from the town. And people thus read news that was relevant to them. Now all of a sudden, you've got an environment where that's all outsourced, effectively, to New York. And so reporters that are in the middle of Manhattan that have their own view are basically feeding that out as opposed to it coming from the ground up. You agree?
Yeah, but even then, some of that's true. But even then, they were left-wing. And you look at what the media cherry-picked. There was a confrontation with a local reporter last night here during the protests in Baltimore. And it got ugly, and it was clear that the photographer started to feel like he was under threat. Mm-hmm. There were lots of cursing. Mm-hmm. The media decided they're going to make a big deal about that when it's right-wingers confronting CNN people. But when it's left-wing protesters...
Somehow they understand it. Oh, well, can you blame them, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, a double standard indeed. Dan Gaynor, thank you so much. Donald Trump, everyone.
Okay, one more.
Joining me now, Alan Dershowitz, a Harvard Law professor and Yale Law School graduate who himself has experienced a tense experience on a college campus recently. He's also author of the new book, Abraham, the World's First, but Certainly Not Last, Jewish Lawyer. Great to see you, Professor. So,
thank you.
I think the viewers know where I stand on this. I've made it very clear. However, let me take the position of the young woman we just saw. We have rules in corporations that say you can't talk a certain way and work here. They say, why can't we have those same rules on college campuses? You can't talk that way, you can't say those things, because this is an institution, this is a place where you shouldn't have to be subjected to that.
Well, these are the same people who claim they're seeking diversity. The last thing many of these students want is real diversity, diversity of ideas. They may want superficial diversity of gender, superficial diversity of color, but they don't want diversity of ideas. We're seeing a curtain of McCarthyism descend over many college campuses. You know, I don't want to make analogies to the 1930s, but we have to remember that it was the students at universities who first started burning books during the Nazi regime. And these students are book burners. They don't want to hear diverse views on college campuses. When I went to speak at Johns Hopkins University, there were protests. It was said that because I won't acknowledge that Israel commits crimes against the Palestinians, I am, quote, harassing students and violating the ethical standards of Johns Hopkins University. By expressing my opinion, I'm harassing students. This has become a very serious problem, not only in American universities, but in universities around the world as well. And it is influencing and having a terrible impact on the education of students.
You have spent your life in a courtroom and on college campuses, on one in particular, and it is an elite institution. When you go to college, you know, as my 100-year-old Nana would say, at least it was when I went to school, you go and you express your freedom and you find it's young adulthood and you want to do all sorts of things and you don't want anybody getting all up in your business. But now they're demanding that the school get all up in everybody's business, and the freedom has to stop when it comes to words.
No, it's the worst kind of hypocrisy. They want complete freedom over their sex lives, over their personal lives, over the use of drugs. But they want mommy and daddy, dean and president, to please give them a safe place, protect them from ideas that may be insensitive, and maybe will make them think. But it's a double standard. Look at what's happening at Hunter University, City University of New York. Students from the Students for Justice from Palestine have issued a petition saying Zionist administrators are causing high tuition in the school. Zionist administrators, you know what they mean by Zionists, they mean Jews. Mm-hmm. blatant anti-Semitism. Nobody says a word. When I spoke at Johns Hopkins University, some of the protesting students, the same students who were talking about safe places, painted a Hitler mustache on my posters. No concern about that. It's an absolute double standard. It is free speech for me, but not for thee, and universities should not tolerate this kind of hypocrisy, double standard, and college administrators have to start treating students as adults and talking back
spine?
To them.
Where, as somebody who's been in academia, where is the spine of these administrators?
They're all afraid. They're all afraid. After Larry Summers got fired from Harvard, after the president of Missouri gets fired, college administrators don't want to have to confront students. Well, if you're going to be a college administrator or a professor, if you have tenure, you have to speak back to the students. You have to call these things what they are. Double standard, hypocrisy, bigotry, McCarthyism, and the fog of fascism is descending quickly over many American universities. We have to fight back against these students.
The duty to educate doesn't walk out the door just because things get tense and uncomfortable.
Absolutely.
Professor Dershowitz, thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Okay, so thank you for your patience, and how does all that relate to feeding the war machine? You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table at www.shazizradio.com. If you want to join in on the chat, jump over there to the superchat.html, where you have access to not one, but four separate chat rooms. Plus, if you scroll down there underneath the chat rooms, there is a People for People radio link that you can go over and visit those wonderful people. Also, if you check out Wolf Spirit Radio, that would be well appreciated as well. So, with that said, there's something going on around here in this world that is just mind-blowing to me, because first off, you've got all these protests that are occurring on college campuses everywhere. And this isn't a new thing, but nonetheless, when you want to start talking terminology such as fake news and all this kind of jazz, that's why I played the War of the Worlds, because with news and information comes responsibility. If you're going to be telling the truth to somebody out there, it's understandable when that truth kind of gets people upset, you know. But if you're going to deliberately mislead the people of the world and cause violence, well, we got another thing going there. That's a whole different story. And one of the things that you're seeing these days in modern-day colleges is I'm kind of wondering how these kids are even getting an education, because they're spending more time out there with political protests and some of the craziness that goes on at college campuses these days is flat-out ridiculous. You know, there should be some sort of deal set up as far as I'm concerned. Not to say that I'm into free speech, but if you're going to protest, you take it outside the college campus, because the college campus should be a place to go get an education to better your life and not a place for violence and protest for whatever political view. But there's been a whole lot of things. Students taking over campuses and, you know, tearing things up and all that kind of jazz. Now, once again, you have to take everything with a grain of salt when you see it or hear it or read it, because of what I've also played down there about how do you know what's true and what isn't true anymore with technology and the dishonesty of the mainstream media. It's actually come to a point where the average Joe has to become a journalist and begin to try to tell the other side of the story while the mainstream media is out there with their bias. Now, it's blatantly obvious. If you go listen to the liberal side of the media, which is pretty much network-wise outnumbered the conservative media as far as I'm concerned, but nonetheless, even on the conservative side, one has to come in with skepticism. Otherwise, you could be lied to just like anybody else, because both sides have an agenda. However, when it comes down to, you know, people being violent and people getting hurt and people, you can't just run into a theater, a crowded theater, and shout fire and then, you know, be able to say, aha, it's just a joke or whatever. No, it's not like that. That's a crime. If you go into a crowded theater, you shout fire, and everybody tries to rush out of there because they don't want to burn up in a fire, well, you know, somebody in the process gets trampled, potentially even killed, and you basically just, you know, committed a crime and got somebody injured. Well, the same thing should apply with the mainstream media. When they're out there calling people everything under the sun, you know, anything from xenophobe to homophobe to whatever kind of phobe and all these different kind of things. You know, okay, so I understand people, you know, of different races and different spiritual backgrounds and different, you know, cultural backgrounds. You know, they want to be able to, you know, have rights too. That's understandable. But when the mainstream media is pumping propaganda to basically incite all this kind of hate and discontent and separation and basically just, you know, divide and conquer tactics, one has to ask first the question is, who's behind all this? Who's the one that's actually pushing the buttons to the media that these people listen to? You know, the college students, they listen to CNN, MSNBC, ABC. Some of them listen to Fox or whatever. It doesn't matter which news media outlet, as long as they're telling the truth and they're accurately reporting the news, both sides of the story, not just one side of the story. That's the way it was supposed to be set up. However, we see a terrible trend going on here just in the United States alone, and it's not just here in the United States. If you kind of Google up media corruption, you'll find that it's happening in every nation. And then, believe it or not, folks, there are people out there who want to divide and conquer all nations for basically order out of chaos. Now, that sounds like a conspiracy theory. But once again, that word conspiracy theory is essentially something used to make your information not sound plausible while they still pump their propaganda out. And if you actually go look at propaganda itself, you'll find out that it was actually ruled that it's okay for the governments and the medias to propagandize their people. So that's pure ridiculousness, because we're talking about a lot of people here. Just in America alone, there's like 300 million people in America, and so you get 300 million people, you know, thinking the aliens are attacking, or the Russians are coming to get us, or, you know, the terrorists are behind every doggone bush. You get people riled up. And then, you know, on top of that, you know, you get to stir the pot about the, you know, gun control issues. Obviously, nobody's going to want to get rid of their guns. If the aliens or Martians or, you know, terrorists are coming to get them, they're going to want to protect their family. Of course, here in the United States, we have a Second Amendment. And the other countries out there, they don't have, you know, the Second Amendment. They don't have the right to keep and bear arms. They don't even have the right, in some incidents, to have freedom of speech. So, with that said, the other nations are kind of, you know, a little bit more trouble than the United States is right now, but nonetheless, it's still to the point where, you know, we're having, you know, all kinds of protests that, you know, people in this world are, you know, being radicalized, quite literally. Apparently, I'm having a little bit of connection issues. Barbara, are you still there?
I am here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you. Okay, so it might just be the chat deal going on. We're touching on a touchy subject, so I'm sure we're gonna get it today. But either way, to try to sum this up in short, we got things going on that you know, they're not normal. When you have college campuses all over the United States alone, that's not to say they're not going overseas as well, because I'm sure they are. We see video after video of protest, and some of the things that are done and said by people who profess to be fighting for rights, social justice warriors, and you know, free speech people, and you know, others, you pick any pretty much any subject out there, there's a protest going on about it. You know, and protesting, you know, human rights, and protesting for you know pro-life or vice versa, whatever. All these protests out here are quite literally feeding the war machine. And the reason why I say that is because if you're trying to destabilize a nation, you want controversy, you want violence, you want war. Because even in just the protests alone, think about how many medical supplies are sold. Think about how many advertisers get paid during news broadcasts. Think about how many medicines and you know, even in the transportation industry, war is profitable. There's many out there who know that war is profitable. What better way to get the war machine riled up and get the students of every college out there, instead of being there getting educated for, you know, future careers or, you know, to better their life? you get them into a political debate and fight over every subject under the sun, not everybody's going to agree. That's blatantly obvious. So it's easy to pull the Jerry Springer on them and get them to fight one another. So while they're fighting one another, and you got homegrown terrorists being created, you got radicalization from every single walk of life and every single culture, every single political background. The people behind the scenes that are pushing the buttons are not only starting wars that your children are going to have to go fight in, that you know, may very well land in your backyard, quite literally. And so, you know, what are we going to do as a people? How are we going to be informed enough to be able to discern between all the information that we are being bombarded with on a regular basis, you know, with technology the way that it is, and you hear somebody say something, you actually see them say it, and it's like, whoa, that's not normal. Why they say that? Before you get all crazy, make sure you take a second look. Make sure you look a little bit harder at the broadcast, or open your ear a little wider. Maybe listen to it a couple times and listen for clues or whatever kind of information that you can get to let you know whether or not this is truth or fiction. Because there's been many incidents in time where people were basically sent to prison or worse because they were falsely accused for things. So if you're out there falsely accusing somebody of being a communist or a racist, and it's funny if you go listen to, well, it's not really funny, but if you go listen to some of these so supposed social justice warriors, they're out there calling everybody Nazis and drawing Nazi mustache or Hitler mustaches on you know, people's photos and such. And you know, they just come out there and labeled you as a Nazi, and then you ask them, well, why do you think they're a Nazi? Well, they can't even give you an answer why they think. All they can tell you is that somebody had told them that this person was a Nazi, or they had heard something on CNN. They might have listened to a conversation and only heard the trigger words, didn't hear the whole entire story in context. So suddenly, now they're out there protesting because they speculate that this person is not a good person. So we've got this divide and conquer going on at such a mass scale these days. It's up to the average Joe, even the people listening to this show right now. Don't take what I say as truth. Take it to heart and research what I'm saying, and go out there and you got to do your own research. As crazy and redundant as that may sound, you hear people say it all the time. You have to do your own research, because if you just take my word for it, the world outside my door might be the most beautiful thing going on. It might not be any controversy. I might have been the one that got scammed into believing that the Martians were getting ready to attack, and so I'm talking all stressful and paranoid that things are going bad, when in reality they're not. So this is why I'm saying what I'm saying. I want peace, hope, and love on this planet. I honestly do. That's my ultimate goal. But I can't get to my ultimate goal as long as every time I try to, you know, tear down a wall, others keep building up walls that keep us divided and, you know, controversial towards one another. You know, I feel like the men and women out here in this world are my brothers and sisters. That's just from my own personal spiritual journey, my own personal beliefs. I feel that way. And I don't feel like I want to lie to them. I don't feel like I want to propagandize them. I don't want to try to take advantage of them. I'm not even asking for donations from any of them to do what it is that I do. I volunteer my time because I have a genuine concern for the world that my grandchildren and your grandchildren are going to grow up in. But we've got to take this matter serious. When it comes down to mainstream media being fake news, that's a terminology that some people, yet just that terminology alone, would, when you say fake news, they automatically assume you're a Trump supporter. Well, you know, I support anybody who's doing the right job. You know, whether or not Trump is doing the right job is going to be told in history when he's done with the job. If he continues to do what it is that he's supposed to do as the President of the United States, then, you know, you'll have my support. And any official out there, whether they be Democrat or Republican, if they hold to the values that they've sworn to uphold, such as the United States Constitution and the Bill of Rights, then they will gain my support as well. But I'm not sitting here saying that I'm on one side of the fence or the other. I basically lean more conservative because I think we need smaller government, that our government was only there for a small purpose, and I think that our government has gotten too large and out of control. I think that there is a lot of corruption in politics these days. I know that there's a lot of bias in media and a lot of corruption in media these days. And it's all bleeding over into the campuses, the college campuses of the world, you know. And so now you're getting everybody calling themselves communist and fascist and socialist and all these ist words, when they should be either Americans or Russians or Japanese or Europeans or whatever, you know. They should be, you know, proud of their country. They should try to make their country better. And even when it comes down to the point of immigration, you know, if these nations are so terrible and all these people feel like they want to rush to America, I think that first off they ought to do their research and find out that America's not as wonderful a place to live these days as it used to be, you know, if it ever was for that matter. But nonetheless, if there's problems in these nations, it would be helpful for other nations to try to help them out, not interfere with their political scenes or anything like that. They let them have fair elections from the people, for the people, by the people, but try to help them in whatever way necessary to teach them how to improve their nation to make it much more like America, so maybe they'd want to stay where they're at. You know, in a perfect world, I wish that we didn't have to have any borders. But unfortunately, we're not there yet. And in a perfect world, I wish that we wouldn't have to have any weapons, you know. But we're not there yet. Unfortunately, the human race has still remained as a, quite literally, the heart of the war machine. These students don't realize that they are actually perpetuating the same things that they don't want. They're perpetuating the wars. They're perpetuating everything by getting all this controversy going on. You know, promoting fear-mongering to get people upset at other races and so on down the line. You know, sometimes they say that the road to disaster was paved by good intentions, and that's pretty well about the best way you can say it, and it's pretty truthful. These students think that they're, you know, out there trying to fight for social justice, but in the process of fighting for social justice, they are becoming the same beast that they profess to be wanting to fight against. And so with that said, while all this controversy is going on, with the mainstream media fighting and the alternative media fighting amongst each other to try to put out a balance, information for everybody, while the protests are going on, while all the different skirmishes and wars and police actions around the world are going on, all this is continuously adding to the war machine's food. You're feeding the war machine. Each and every one of these people out there protesting are feeding the same machine that's eating them alive, the same beast. They're doing it. Because if you really sit back and look at everything that's going on, if you're intellectually honest and truthful with yourself and want to, you know, get down to the actual facts of everything, when you're out there, I can still hear you. I can still hear you. Anyway, when you get down,
okay.
We're still here.
I don't know if anybody can hear me if I'm gone.
Yeah, I still hear you, Barbara.
All right, let me see.
All right, hold on. Let me call you back.
Where are you?
All right, so
Shazam.
I think I still have her. Doggone it. Sorry about that, folks. We're having a little bit of problem here on the connection side. I'll call her back here. Yeah, it's terrible for live radio. Alright, so anyway, while I'm trying to get this call back connected, basically, if you sit back and you look at everything that's going on, then you notice somebody's getting paid. every single time that there's a controversy out there, somebody out there is getting paid. I'm having trouble reconnecting to Barbara. I'm going to keep trying this. I tell you what, let me jump on a quick song right here, and that'll buy me some time to see if I can get this doggone deal sorted out. Stay tuned. You're listening to Knights of the Round Table.
The preacher man says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a gold dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, a woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. Grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those women more boys raised on shotguns. We say grace, we say ma'am. If you ain't into that, we don't give a damn. Came from the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. And we can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. My grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and he's taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures of the Broadway nights, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beach nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, 'cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land. And we can skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
Always looking to serve the turbo and the Knights of the Round Table. Yeah, it's funny, but it's not. But believe it or not, folks, there are actually people out there who don't like these type of conversations or my radio show. Hi, Barbara. I'm glad you're back. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now.
It's like a telephone commercial.
Can you hear me now? Yeah. Can you hear me now?
So what do you think about all this?
What do I think of all this?
Yeah.
Well, there's so much. How can we wade through it? Hi, everybody out there. It's good to be here. It's a beautiful day here on Turtle Island where I'm sitting and talking to you all out there. Hopefully everybody's doing well. And, there's so much. It's mind-boggling, really. So many tentacles here that we're looking at. And, you know, I just feel like... Well, you talk about free speech. You said earlier we're a country that where we have free speech, but I think that's going out the window quickly. I feel that people are reactive, emotionally reactive. It's like psychological warfare here, which is nothing new, but I think it's ramping up, seems to be ramping up. You have, it seems like civility and critical thinking has just flown out the window, just trying to have an opinion today, or it might be a different opinion, which is the way humans are. I have one opinion, and you may have another opinion, but we had once listened to each other's opinions and then continued a dialogue or a civil dialogue or at least something,
yeah.
But now today you're immediately attacked. There's swear words coming at you and vile comments coming at you, and it's just mind-boggling to me. So
well,
there is no dialogue anymore. We have this uptick of attacks, full-blown out attacks, not only in the streets but wherever, Twitter, Facebook, face-to-face. I've seen and heard from, and I've experienced myself, the divisiveness going on in families fighting each other and friends deleting each other and defriending each other, and it's quite an interesting thing to watch what's going on. And so you have to say, okay, what is going on and what is behind this, you know? And I don't know, I did a study and I haven't really looked back into it about quite a few years ago, an infiltration, I'm going to use that word because it seems like we're being infiltrated in a lot of ways with certain things that are not to our best interest.
Can I jump in there just for a second?
We call that an agenda, right?
Can I jump in there for a second?
Sure.
Part of what you're talking about is, you know, I kind of get this feeling that our free speech has actually kind of been turned around to be used against us, if that makes any sense to you, to the extent that the way the mainstream media and even some in the alternative media are actually pushing buttons to get you to think that your freedoms are under attack. You see what I'm saying?
Well, I do, and I'm going to say that it seems today that people that believe in free speech only for themselves.
Yeah.
It's like you have no right to your free speech. You have to listen to me, what I'm saying, and shut your mouth.
Yeah, you have to conform.
You have to just stop thinking for yourself and listen to me, what I'm telling you how to think or what I believe in. And if you don't, if you try to express your opinion, you get trounced on.
Yep.
And this is where we are heading. And so perhaps in the future, we will no longer be a country of free speech. You know, is that what we want?
Well, I think that that's what's the ultimate agenda. When I mentioned about using your free speech against you, if you've got a whole bunch of people out there, and because they're exercising their free speech, but in the process you got a crowd of them doing violence, that would be a really good excuse. Because I don't know if you noticed part of what was going on with what the media was talking about, how they were being basically shut out, that they were almost to say that you have to make it a law that you can't have free speech on certain college campuses. And to some extent, I almost said that as well. But you have to understand, once you cut it completely out and you don't have no kind of remedy against your government where you can actually speak out, then you got a problem. But I think that all this is going on, the ultimate agenda is to get these people out there exercising their free speech, but in the wrong manner, such as then now they're going to make it so, well, it's, you can't go out there and say that anymore, because you're causing problems. And you see it on Facebook, you see it on Twitter, YouTube, and all over Google platforms, where you can't say certain things, otherwise they'll delete your doggone channel. They basically took Alex Jones, for whatever you think of him, they took him completely off the internet.
Well, they're taking others off. I think that, there's a lot behind that particular circumstance regarding Alex Jones.
Well, I'm sure there is, but...
Which yeah. I don't want to get into right now, but all in all, it seems to be a big mess, and people aren't thinking critically, and they're just reacting. They're reactive today because that's how everybody's being riled up to be, is reactive. Reactive in their hate toward others. If you have an opposing opinion, or let's say you're a different party than someone, or even if you're not if you're not even a Dem or a Republican or anything, a registered, you're attacked anyway for being that or the opposite, or you're called a Nazi. There are certain tag words today that are being really blatantly put out there and used against people. You know, if you believe one thing, you know, then you're a Nazi. If you believe another thing, then, you know, then you're an anarchist. If you believe this thing, you're an Antifa. It's just all these tag words that are being pushed into our language today just to assault people with, and you don't even know that person. I mean, people don't even know me. I'm just expressing my my perspective or my opinion. I had a mansplain incident, if you know what mansplaining is. The other day, I posted something in regards to the supposed immigrant caravan. It's not a caravan, let's get real. Where I posted what's going on in some of this with the caravan, the thousands of migrants, suddenly one day, just like a miracle happened here, right? A miracle occurred. Thousands of people, in these South American countries woke up one day, suddenly, out of the blue, like a miracle hit them, and they said, oh, I'm packing my backpack, dragging my kid, putting him in a little stroller, and we're leaving town. We're going to the United States. Oh, wait, there's thousands of other people on the road here with me. Well, how did that happen? It's a miracle, folks. Huh. Suddenly, out of the blue, several thousand people start walking towards the border with their flags, waving their Honduran flags, and, you know, screaming, Viva Honduras, and we're heading out to the United States. It's just a miracle. I'm looking at it as a miracle. Okay, it's like improbable, frankly, but... And so I was just pointing out the fact that the government, any government, wants to protect their borders. And I, in a better world, the dream would be no borders, right? I mean, I'm right there with you. And I was actually right there with the fact of, at first, well, we can't, how can we turn people away, in my thinking, which is heartfelt, how can we turn people away who are seeking refuge from some horrible circumstance in their country? And that's where I was, and I still believe that, but you have to look at what's really going on, this strange phenomenon of plus people suddenly one day waking up like a miracle, collective consciousness, whatever you want to call it, all emerging toward our border. So any country has rules and regulations about entering their country, and they want their borders protected. You don't want thousands of people just emerging on your border. That's any country would do that. If you enter Honduras, for instance, illegally, you get put in jail right away. So I just happened to post my perspective on what I felt and some of the research I was doing, which I have been doing research on this migration or immigrant wave, and I posted my perspective, and some person, a male, set up a little video, popped it into me. And the title of the video was, Immigrant Caravan explained. So the word explained was in parentheses. So he was explaining to me what this caravan is all about. Like, I have no clue. Like, who am I? I don't know nothing. He's going to explain this to me. And I said to him, I responded to him, oh, is this mansplaining? You know, because that's what it was. Like he's inferring that I'm an idiot, I'm uneducated, I haven't done any research, but he's going to show me exactly what this caravan is all about, from his perspective, of course. Okay, so we had our conversation back and forth. You know, it was a civil conversation, actually the first civil conversation that I had with a person on Facebook who had a different opinion than I. So we went back and forth trying to come to a, you know, a better understanding about what may be going on, he wants me to look at some things that he's pulled up that he believes in, and I put some stuff out for him, which was an alternative perspective. And I said to him, we cannot conclude the truth or come to the truth, the final conclusion, hopefully, unless we look at both sides. We can't just take one perspective, one side of an issue, and say, okay, that's the truth. We must bridge that gap and go further and look at both sides and then discern and determine what the facts and truth are. But people aren't willing to do that. Hey, sis.
How you doing? Is your microphone on?
Hello.
She muted.
There's a little peek. Anyway, so
I've got like four or five things going on my desktop.
So I'm just saying that today, someone, something, psychological warfare, I believe, is going on. It has been going on. It's ramping up to divide us, to pit us against each other.
Lisa
says people in the caravan don't appear to be carrying anything, and who would leave their country and not carry a bit of food and water at the least? Well, Lisa, you're absolutely right, but if you go further and do research, you'll see that these people are being helped along the way. They are being bused and trucked. They are given food and water at certain stopping points. So, yeah, you're right. Why would these people walk thousands of miles with a backpack on, with a baby in a stroller? I mean, that's mind-blowing to me. There's a lot of things going on here. But you do have to do your research, and you do have to question like you are, Lisa. Yeah, who would leave their country and not carry a bit of food and water? Well, that's just kind of a crazy thing.
Let me throw something else in the mix. Anon1019 in the chat room said, any group that gets together to express dissatisfaction with an issue or that calls out an injustice is automatically demonized in the press. Those groups are often infiltrated by law enforcement who incite violent acts. That is what happened in the Occupy movement. A group called Black Bloc infiltrated the group and started destroying stuff. They were the ones wearing their uniform, shoes, or boots. They refused to give their names, etc. And Stephen Gibbons posted a link in the chat room from Wikipedia that clicked the wrong button. Anyway, it's Agent Provocateur. An agent provocateur is a person who commits or who acts to entice another person to commit an illegal or rash act or falsely implicate them in partaking in an illegal act so as to ruin the reputation or entice legal action against the target or group he belongs to. So that link's in there if you want to read the whole deal.
But you also have, so you have to investigate Occupy Wall Street. You have to go dig and deeper and see, okay, what actually was Occupy Wall Street? I mean, I didn't do that, but I did read something that, in fact, it wasn't what we thought it was. You know, I thought, well, that's good. These people are standing up against the elite, the corporate mind and corporate control, war machine, so on. But I think there's something else there too, and I haven't investigated it, but I bet if you go digging, you will find something. I don't know if anyone else has a perspective on that.
Well, but that kind of thing right there, you know, it's once again, people have to do their research, because some of these groups that gather like that, they might have good intentions, but other ones may not have such good intentions, and exactly. Some of them may...
And they rile people up, and they get... So like this caravan, okay, the caravan, so-called caravan. If you were really... Okay, if you were in trouble in your country, like it's a horrible situation, say, and you want sanctuary in another country, there are legal ways to go about that,
yep.
Period. It's just a simple thing. It's easy. It's understandable. This is what you do. You go about this legally.
Yeah, but bum-rushing the border is not the way to go, because that just basically makes your cause look bad, as far as I'm concerned.
And not carrying your country's flag.
Yeah, that would be another plus.
Screaming, Viva Honduras. If you viva, yay, Honduras. We love Honduras. Honduras is our country. But we're going to the U.S. We're going to en masse. Now, I'm sure there are some people within that caravan who are completely believing this is a good thing.
Well, there are Americans.
I want to jump in.
One quick thing. There are Americans, though, that actually openly state that they want to end America.
Americans?
Yeah, there are Americans.
Oh,
exactly.
Those people.
Yeah. Sorry, they're petty.
Well, they want open borders. They want one world order. They want... Yeah, this is a part of it. Go ahead, sis.
Well, the thing that I was looking at, which makes pretty much sense to me, these caravans that are being put together now, that are rolling out toward the border with the intent of illegally entering the U.S. They've said that themselves. They're coming here for jobs. They're not applying for asylum. They're not applying for citizenship. They're just coming here. Okay, they've said that themselves. But the thing of it is that this isn't the sizes of these caravans is what's new. And the timing of these caravans. This is not the season that they usually come across the deserts and through the wastelands to get to this country. This is way past that season. If you go back and you look and you do the research, they don't come during this time of year. They don't. They don't come in the massive numbers that they're coming across now. They don't have support behind them of these Red Cross, for instance, and other charities, the Soros charities, what's the one that the UN is running, that they've already shown that the money is coming from the UN. The UN themselves have stood up and said, yes, we're helping them. You know, the president of Honduras has said, yes, Venezuela is helping them, yes, other governments are helping them. Other NGOs are helping them. So we have to look at this realistically. I see both sides of the story, right? I see that these people are in a depressed economy, they don't have the jobs, that their families are suffering. If they come here in the numbers that they're coming into this country, they won't have jobs. They will not. There's not enough jobs for these people. They're unskilled workers, for one thing. There's only a certain amount of unskilled. Okay? Let's look at this realistically. These people are coming. They want to come across the border unvetted. They don't want to apply for citizenship. They want to come across the border now. They want to bring their children. I hear people complaining about, well, the 14th Amendment. If you haven't read the 14th Amendment, then you don't have any right to talk about the 14th Amendment, because those who haven't read the 14th Amendment think that it's legal what they're doing. Think that it's legal to come over here, have a child, an anchor baby. It's not. You have to read the 14th Amendment.
It will really surprise you, right, sis, this 14th Amendment? Because
yes.
We did you cannot the research.
You cannot take the MSM's, the mainstream media's, account that it is not constitutional to not have these anchor babies and stuff. because it is constitutional.
Well, there's another...
President Trump has not done anything unconstitutional. If you do your own research, you will see this. I'm just saying.
The original 14th Amendment, I'm paraphrasing here, was about the black slaves, actually. Had nothing to do with immigrants or anything. It was specifically...
But it was clarified to make sure that people understood by the framers.
That's right, by the framers of this Constitution. Exactly.
Well, there's another aspect of this whole thing that I don't think people are putting two and two together. This isn't just happening in America. It's happening over in Europe. Look at the... it's pretty much a lot of refugees and immigrants going from the Middle Eastern country over in theirs, and they're not just bringing their, you know, their flags, but they're bringing their ideology with them. They're not coming there to what's that word that they use on Star Trek where basically they could become part of the deal.
Will be assimilated.
Yeah, that's the word I'm looking for. They're not coming there to assimilate into the society to become Europeans or Americans. You know, they're coming here to pretty much bring their flag with them. It's not, when I figured
well,
it like this.
What they're doing, why they're coming here is because they were prompted, okay? And why they were prompted was because they can be a voting bloc.
Yeah.
And if they flood the countries with people who will vote as those people funding this want them to vote, then Brexit and all of this other stuff goes away. Everybody becomes one big kumbaya, according to the globalist.
And when all this chaos finally plays itself out, then people will actually be begging for UN troops to come in to bring back order. That's a whole doggone dirty plan behind the scenes. Order out.
Well, already some of these countries that opened their borders freely now are being inundated with rapists and violence, and now they're changing their policy. Now they are putting the brakes on and actually are working to close their borders.
Because they're going bankrupt, because they're losing the rule of law in their own countries.
Yeah.
So you cannot ignore what's going on in Europe in relation to what is attempting to be happening here in our country. You just cannot ignore that piece. If you do, then you're just not up on what is really going on, and you're going to have a big surprise. So, but people are being pushed to ignore these things and believe in basically what they're being told about the right of people just coming here and the DACA, the babies being born here. The 14th Amendment really says that it has nothing to do with, if you are an illegal immigrant and you have a baby here, that baby basically is still what's the word, to your country, to the original country.
They are still a nationalist to that country.
They're not a citizen of the United States just because they're born here. That's what the 14th Amendment speaks to.
Let me read out a comment.
You cannot be an illegal you cannot enter illegally into a country and become a citizen because you've already broken the law. And if you cannot stand under the law of the country, then you cannot be a citizen.
Yep.
Read the 14th Amendment.
Let me read out a comment.
I just want to say something before you start. If you don't want to read the 14th Amendment and you still continue to spew out the rhetoric about open the borders to these people, they have a right to be here and have their babies here and become citizens, then you're just going down the wrong, you're on the wrong side of history, basically.
Yep.
And I just say, well, you're choosing ignorance.
Well, like I said, in a perfect world, we'd like to have open borders, but this is not a perfect world yet. We got
exactly.
Issues that we got.
And one more thing. Trump just recently said that he wants these people to come in. We do need workers. We will have jobs eventually, but he said they must do it legally.
So
he never said, I don't want any of these people.
Of all the people saying, let them in, let them in, I've asked this question to many of them. Like I said, I see both sides, but I'm looking at this logically, and I'm asking these people, okay, you let this first caravan come through of what, 7,000 people, and there's three or four caravans. They're spread out all over. We're talking upwards of maybe up to 15,000 people are going to be coming through here. Now, where are you going to put these people? What is the health of these people? Who's going to take care of that? Who's going to take care of the food, the lodging? Who's going to take care of the jobs? Who's going to pay for that? How many people and how many caravans are you willing to allow into this country without being vetted? What about the criminal aspect? And if you tell me there are no criminals in there, I've got to say you're not even being serious, because there are criminal elements. The president of Honduras, even the president of Venezuela have arrested and said there are
immigration laws. That's the reason why.
The thing of it is that you got to answer these questions for me before I can even sit down and talk to you about this.
Yep.
If we're going to have an intelligent discussion on this and you truly believe that they should be able to come in here, I want to know, are you going to pay for this? Because I can't pay for it. This country can't afford to pay for this. So what are you planning on doing with this? Are you planning on allowing this influx into the United States and having the taxpayers pick up the whole deal? Well, we don't have the money, guys. Well, where's it going to come from?
Next question is, are they going to take them into their own homes so that they can give them a place to stay? That's a good question.
I asked that of a person who was, you know, carrying on about we have to let them in. I said, well, are you willing to take some into your home? Who's going to pay for their health insurance? Who's going to house them? Who's going to feed them? Who's going to give them jobs? I mean, you're talking over 4,000 plus people.
Yep.
You want to see a microcosm of this? Look at California.
Yep.
Look at where they are. You know, they cannot afford the influx that they are getting. People are living in the street in filth. Is this what you want to bring them into this country?
Yeah.
Here, go get a sidewalk.
Well, let me get this comment in, because I want the people in the chat room to know that, you know, if they want to be part of the conversation, that we'll watch your comments in there. We'll read them out. As long as there ain't no bad language, we're not going to read bad language over it. But anyway, Anon1019 said the people in Occupy were fed up. A common saying, things are messed up. Let me try to read this again. The people in Occupy were fed up. A common saying was, things are messed up. We met and gathered info, attended town hall meetings, wrote letters to Congress, and tried to effect change through normal channels. That is how it happened in my area. The encampment were to bring attention to many issues our country is dealing with. The hope was that others would join and hold our leaders accountable for their actions while returning the government to, of, by, and for the people. Most people in my group were college educated. Now see, the initial cause, It all sounds good in theory, but the problem that we're finding out is even the good groups being infiltrated by radical that some are, you know, some took the word, the anarchist word, and kind of moved it in a total different direction. You know, anarchy at its core might sound good as well,
yes,
but they took it to a violent direction as opposed to, you know, we're going to come out and we're going to create chaos. No justice, no peace. Does that phrase sound familiar to anybody? No justice,
yeah,
no peace.
Exactly.
And so here you are, social justice warrior, talking about you want social justice, but you're going to use violence to get social justice, and the ends are supposed to justify the means after you just violated everybody else's rights, trying to bring your rights up to, or your ideology and everybody else's way of thinking. You're not going to get everybody to agree.
So where's the justice?
Yeah.
Yes. Where's the justice for the people of this country and other countries? Where is their justice? The mobs that have overran Germany, Spain, France, Greece, Italy, that have raped the women and children, you know, there's no social justice for them, is there? Because Merkel has just had to step down because the people of her country have said enough is enough, right?
Yeah.
So she must have done something wrong for the whole country to stand up and say we've had enough. Think about this. Let's go about this logically. Let's not listen to the MSM. Let's do our research. Let's actually find out what is actually happening. Because if you do that research, it's out there. It is in plain sight for those who want to see. But if you're only listening to mainstream media and you can't see the bias and the hate being propagated by these news agencies, then you're as blind as they are.
Yep.
We have to sit down and have dialogue. We have to start talking with each other and bring the facts. Don't bring the rhetoric. Don't bring the 5-second news blurbs, you know? This is crazy.
It's called critical thinking and dialogue, you know, respectful dialogue with each other, not name-calling or not just spewing out the rhetoric like you say you heard that you haven't even researched. But I'm just thinking the same thing happened with at Standing Rock. You know, there was infiltration, deliberate infiltration into the Standing Rock group as well to divide the people, to set up, you know, divisiveness and separateness, and to collude in that venue to basically knock down the people's purpose and their original focus, which was peaceful protest and prayer, you know, and to separate the people. And this is going to happen when you get people standing up together in a good way against the system. You know, that you're going to be infiltrated, you know, and you have to be very careful. We, the people today, are being infiltrated in every venue that we look at or that we are responsible for reviewing or looking at or speaking about. We are all being infiltrated to become divisive and not stand together in unity, but to actually spewing hate and fighting in the streets, and violence is rising in the streets.
Well,
and one side will say, well, all these, the Republicans are all violent, they did this, they did that. And then you look on the other side, but you see, wait a second, it's also happening on the other side, where you see Dems, people who are being riled up by the Democrats, who are attacking Republicans and sending severed head pictures to Republicans and so it's on both sides. We have to be realistic and stop.
To add to what you just said, Barbara, here's another example of what you just said about the both sides of the deal right here. Anon1019 said, the town hall meetings were a joke. Our well-researched questions were dismissed or ignored. The good old boys supporters' questions were gleefully addressed. See, here's the thing. What you just said, Barbara, was really key, because if you got the Democrats, or let's say you got a really liberal, group as a town council meeting or whatever, it doesn't matter. Or you got the opposite side, the majority conservative. When you come in there with an opposing view, these folks, they don't even pay attention to you. If you come in there with something that even remotely sounds like it's conspiratorial and you want your government to address it, even if some of them may know that you're actually telling the truth, that you're actually bringing valid information to the table, it's blatantly obvious that they're going to use their seat of power to not look into it, to make it so that, you know, you don't have a voice in the deal. And that's where the frustration on both sides of the fence ends up coming from. You see what I mean here?
Well, it's like with the Soros thing, you know, people are saying, Soros isn't funding this. Well, yes, he is.
Of course he is.
His charity is working with the UN, and the UN has said that they are working with his charity. Come on, people.
And he's not the only one. There's other
countries. Yeah. Other countries have forbidden Soros to do anything in their countries or his charities because of this.
Was that Poland?
Poland, some mm-hmm. of the yes, there's quite a few.
Austria.
Yeah, Austria. The people finally woke up to what is really going on. Hey, Barry.
They elected a representative that's actually listening to the people in Australia. Hitler in Austria, and I think the whole world should look to them as an example right now. He's going to purge this this cancer out of his society, and that's what it is, folks. What we see right now is a cancer growing in our society that is basically unchecked, and the farther it goes, the more power it has. What we have going on in the United States, Canada, Russia, I mean, Europe, look at Germany, man. I told you a couple weeks ago, I had conversations with people, a young guy that lived an hour and a half north of Berlin, and he tells me now that his people in his town of 15,000 people cannot walk the streets at night without fear of being raped by an immigrant. So if we're
they're entering their houses and pulling people out of their houses.
Yeah, and the government is standing by, and well, you wonder why Merkel stepped down. You wonder why people now are almost at a state of civil war because the government is not protecting us.
Okay,
look at what happened to Tommy Robinson. I mean,
let's talk about that mass of immigrants that rushed into Europe. What were they fleeing? What were they fleeing? Supposedly fleeing.
They're not fleeing anything. They're being paid big bucks.
No, they were fleeing. They were being paid. Supposedly, they were being paid. Yes, some of them were being paid big bucks. But what was the general message? Basically, where these people were fleeing war, it was in Yemen and the Middle East and so on. But who started the war in Yemen? And who started the war deliberately to get these people? Exactly. This is what we have to look at. The playing of the people, the agenda. Basically, there is an agenda here, and the more we speak about that, the more, you know, I hear the voices, wow, that's conspiracy. Do your research, people, and you will find that this is a worldwide situation going on. It's not just
here.
We knew
there was a move toward the one world government, and we knew that they were going to do this, and now we're sitting here fighting each other while they're doing it?
That's fighting each other.
It makes no sense because we all knew. We knew before this even began that they were going to make a move toward the one world government. And we're seeing it happen before our eyes, and we're sitting here arguing with each other.
And the Pope. And put the Pope in here. What the Pope is doing. Okay, you know, I mean, bringing in the Islam's, the people, the religions, opening the doors to that and calling people racist or whatever. This is not the way of Christianity. You need to welcome all these people. And, you know, and that's a struggle right there because, you know, there we were also feeling, I know I was, well, wait, we're a nation of immigrants, you know. But what happened here? There were no borders here, and the Indian people welcomed them, and look what happened. Waves.
Well,
waves.
Here's another thing. Here in the U.S., you know, and from Venezuela on up, the migrants, that are moving this way in mass like they've never done before, people want to believe that all of a sudden they woke up one day and this mass of 7,000 plus people decided, oh, let's go to the border all by themselves and join together. No, that doesn't happen. Another thing here. They entered illegally into Guatemala. They broke down the barricades on the border walls. They injured the police who were trying to stop their illegal entry into Guatemala, into Mexico. They flooded Mexico. The president who tried to stop them, have his people stop them, couldn't do it. So he offered these people asylum in his country. He offered to move them to two cities within Mexico and give them their citizenship there. The people refused and said, no, if we come in, we want to go where we want. This is fact. We want to go where we want, and because he wouldn't allow them to go anywhere they want, now they're coming to the U.S. They were going to go to the U.S. anyway. Think about this. If they were leaving Venezuela because they feared for their lives politically or whatever, and they entered into Guatemala, why did they not seek asylum there?
Well,
Once they broke through Guatemala and then broke through Mexico, why did they not accept that?
They're not seeking asylum.
We have to ask questions. You know, we have to say, Well, wait a minute. Let's think about this. This is what we're not doing. This is, well, a lot of us are, but nobody's listening. This is the thing. We need to start talking instead of throwing this rhetoric up constantly that has no basis.
You know, sis, if we ask a question of people, they avoid the question, don't they? If we ask a question of persons to show us or give us an answer towards what their rhetoric is, they shut up. They can't respond because they don't have an answer. They're just pushing out rhetoric that they've seen or heard somebody else said. They're not doing their research. They cannot answer a civil question. You know,
they cannot even entertain the fact that these are illegal aliens. I've been told these aren't illegal aliens. They haven't broken any laws. Well, yeah, they've broken three countries' laws to get into Mexico. Three countries' laws to get into Mexico. So don't tell me they're not illegal.
Well, what I see is the politics, folks. If you're coming from a political perspective, you're caught in the agenda, period. So you have to step away from the political nonsense. The party, this party, I'm that party, I'm a Republican, I'm a Democrat, I'm for this person, I'm not for that person, I hate this person. You have to get away from that because that's part of the agenda pushing us all in this corner to really create this madness that we're experiencing. We can't have civil conversation because you're stuck in your political rhetoric. And that's the sad thing.
One of the solutions that people should be more thinking about is how do we together watch all the, to keep an eye on all the corruption that's actually going on in the government. While we're out here fighting over, things that might be really important, I've lost for words here, that things that are really important to us, certain things like pro-rights or whatever, that we want addressed by our government. Meanwhile, we got congressmen and senators that are, on the take pretty much, getting bribed or whatever. And we got mainstream media that's furthering their own personal side of the agenda, whether it's CIA-backed or whatever. Nonetheless, you can see a blatant bias in the mainstream media on all sides of the fence. So when the people lose the trust in the government, when they lose the trust in the media is supposed to be journalists. They're supposed to be there to, balanced story on both sides. You see what I'm saying? But if you got an issue that you want addressed, you can't necessarily get your issue addressed because of the corruption on both sides of the doggone fence, and that's why people are getting riled up. And the more that the mainstream media says that, the other side is doing this and doing that, the more this is feeding into the college and getting all these students all riled up to go out there and just pure ridiculousness. Does what I'm saying to you make any sense?
Well, it's not just students.
No,
it's your neighbors. It's your family. You see, this is the whole point, is that it's not just the students. Yeah, these students are trying their best to come to conclusion and so on, but they're also being politicized.
Barry, your keyboard's loud.
What?
That's Barry. I told him to jump in. You just got to jump in, Barry.
Yeah, not with your two fingers.
Sorry, Barbara, I couldn't hear you over his banging keyboard.
I'm sorry, guys. I got to remember to mute when I'm typing because I do hit the keyboard a little hard. I got these big fingers.
I'm saying it's not just the students. It's your family, somebody in your family. It's your neighbor. It's the guy down the street. So these students, okay, they're trying to assess what's going on, but they are being infiltrated with the agenda, the political agenda, as we are all the same. Having this issue, that's why I keep saying you have to step away from the political agenda and become a human being, part of humanity.
Yeah.
Come together. We all want the same thing.
But
we're tired of war. Okay? But we are warring against ourselves because the political machine is pushing us against each other, period. Yep. That's what I see.
But some people don't. Some people don't understand that we're in the middle of an information war. We're quite literally, the world is in an information war. Since the internet and social media and all that, this is why all the censorship and craziness is going on, is because they can't control the, what's the word I'm looking for? The
the narrative.
The narrative. The narrative, that's it. They can't control the narrative anymore because people like us can get out there and talk common sense about the truth. You see what I mean?
But you can't listen to common sense about the truth if you're politicized. Yeah. Period. You
cannot. Let Gary have a go. Yeah, I know, Patty. It's really hard to get a word in here, edgewise. What we got to do is pass the walking. We got to pass the talking stick around the table here.
Jump in.
Okay, it's your turn. Go. I invited Duke Willis in here, guys. I've done lots of shows with Duke. He does podcasts and YouTube channels and Canadian Patriot. I thought I'd join him and invite him in for the conversation because we're talking about something that he loves to talk about, and that's the immigration problems we see going on and exactly what's going on with this caravan. Can I get his input on that for a real quick minute here, Duke,
yeah,
on what we see going on?
Be careful about the language.
Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Barry. Hi, everybody. Good morning, and what an introduction. I walk into the Skype chat, and the first thing I hear are the most contradictory words in the English language: common sense and politics.
Yeah.
Great, good Sunday morning to you, too. As for immigration, the word immigration is grossly misapplied to what is happening in our world, not just our country or our continent, but in our world today. It is not immigration. It is planned, organized invasion.
I agree with that.
Absolutely. We all agree with that.
Yep.
That's why we're here talking.
We're preaching to the choir here, Duke, because we all understand what's going on and how it's being perpetrated on us. I am not a fan of Donald Trump, but what's going on right now at the U.S. border, there has to be a line drawn in the sand because you cannot allow people to freely walk into your country. It just cannot happen. If we don't have borders, we don't have countries. And sure, open borders, that whole concept is great. We could all live together on one planet and interact and go wherever we want, but unfortunately that's not the reality of our world today.
Yeah, we're not
and
there
what
yet.
We see going on, what we see going on, there has to be a line drawn in the sand, and that has to come to a stop, in my opinion.
We're proceeding with caution. I liken this to there's a wolf at the doggone entrance of the cave, and he's saying, come on in there, let's have dinner, and we're kind of like sitting back in the crowd saying, hold on a second, before we go rolling up in there, he did say dinner, that sounds really nice and everything, but first we need to establish what or who's on the menu. You see what I'm trying to say here? The money men of the world out there are pretty much playing chess, and they're feeding the military machines of the world. These folks, they know how to make money. They know how to get you fighting amongst each other. They know how to indoctrinate the kids in the college to get them to, you know, believe in this big old dream that we got. We would love to have a open border society where everybody could live happily ever after. But unfortunately, folks, we're not there yet because our governments and the corporations out there, the companies.
Reality check. We will never be there.
Well,
as long as there is good and evil, good needs a way to separate itself from evil. And as long as there are humans, there will be good and evil, as good and evil resides in everyone. So, unless we eliminate all humans and turn us all into George Orwell robots, there will be good and evil, and there must be a means of separating the good from the evil. Evil cannot coexist with good. Well, Islam cannot coexist with democracy. It is not compatible by its own words, its own claims. Islam has made that statement. And Oil and gasoline don't mix. Evil and good don't mix.
I get all that, but I got this naive optimism about myself that if there was some way that we could all, you know, get our act together and start realizing that, you know, all the everything we've done in the past, you know, we messed up a lot of stuff. But, you know, there's got to come a time when you got to stop repeating the past. There's got to be a come a time when you start realizing the ones pushing the buttons are those evil groups that need to be separated. We need to know who is our congressman or our senator or whoever is in charge of the doggone nuclear button, so to speak. We got to be informed and aware, but we're not to that point yet. And maybe we can never get there, but I can't sit here and say that we can never make it as a human race, because we do have both good and evil potential in us. But I still believe that if there is a possibility that we can somehow or another figure out a way to bring this world together, not under some doggone one world government or religion or whatever, but under the idea that we're all going to be different no matter what. We're not all going to agree.
The cola commercial, "I just want to teach the world to sing," is a great ideology.
Sure it
is. But the actual application of it, the reality of it, is that somebody in that choir of voices is going to scream "F you" in the middle of the song, and there's nothing you can do about it. That's human nature.
Well, I got better.
Not my nature.
I kind of got a more
the nature of
view.
People out there. You can't change that.
Well, I think it can be changed, because you have the walk-away movement. You have the people in Germany who finally rose up en masse and said, we're going to change things, and they are changing things. You have other countries that are now closing their borders and going back to their sovereign laws. So, yes, there are changes being made. There's a movement worldwide.
I'm going to be the devil's advocate here. Let's take a realistic today look at how utopia ideology has been applied to our grade school children, where you don't turn around and punch the bully in the mouth in order to show him he can't bully you. You go to the teacher and the teacher tells you, hug the bully, tell him he loves you. Well, go find a kid in grade school who's the victim of a bully and ask them how well that hug a bully until they love you works. And the kid will show you their broken emotions and their black eyes. Because
I'm saying bring them to the table and put the facts out there. If they refuse the facts, if they still act like children, if they still throw their tantrums, then disassociate and make them the minority that they are, because truly they are the minority.
Well,
seriously.
So how do you disassociate from groups like Antifa?
Laws. We have laws against...
We already have laws against this.
Prosecute them. We're not prosecuting them.
Well,
why are we not prosecuting them?
Thank you.
Because we have a schism in our political system fighting against each other.
Of course.
The schism in our society, the political system, the judicial system, is merely the canvas on which we see the paint. The paint is coming from our society. It is your neighbors.
The judicial system has been built over four decades to be in the position that they are to allow these things to happen.
And so has our society.
The judicial system needs to be dismantled. And
Sodom and Gomorrah weren't created in one day.
Well, see, I get the fact that our society has quite literally deteriorated, but it's as far as I'm concerned, it's a planned event. But if you go back and you listen to what Paul Harvey said in 1965, he explained in graphic detail what we're talking about here today. But the whole entire thing is the people out there, they got to understand that they are being manipulated. These folks out here that believe in all these different agendas that they're trying to get out there and the feuds at college, most of these individuals, maybe they are college educated, but they have absolutely no research to back up what it is that they're spewing out. Most generally, you can listen, and the talking points that they're arguing and cussing people over are something that they just heard off of MSN or NBC or ABC or even Fox News for that matter. All the mainstream media outlets have their own specific agenda depending on which side of the fence they fall on. But nonetheless, the responsibility, it's all right to have free speech, but you got to understand, if you got that free speech, you got to use those words wisely, because if you don't use those words wisely, words start wars.
And well, it used to be that you were allowed free speech and you could say anything you wanted, and the people decided on whether what you said was valid or not, and if it wasn't valid, then you were tossed to the side. You became ostracized or whatever. That doesn't happen anymore.
Well, that's because we're being bombarded from every doggone direction from everything. Just like Paul Harvey said, you're gonna threaten your country with your movies with dirtier movies, and there'd be metal detectors and drug sniffing dogs at every school. And we've watched this fall.
Which have been there for 20 years.
Yeah, well,
it blows me away that he did this in 1965.
That's right.
You have listened to that, have you?
When did George Orwell write 1984? I'm sorry, but I watched it as a kid in grade school. They marched our entire school into the library and had us watch George Orwell's 1984 back in the late 60s when it first came out.
Well, for what and purpose did they do that?
I grew up being sarcastic to people saying, I am not a free man, I am a free number. And for years, I couldn't remember where I had learned that line. What? And it wasn't until I grew up and read Orwell's 1984 that I realized that was the closing line of the movie. And as a kid, it had impressed upon me so much that for years, I used it several times a year in conversation.
For what purpose did they show you that movie?
I don't know.
Well,
I honestly,
that's
I
my
was
point.
Young.
The information that we've got, there's people out there who have really strong beliefs in just about everything. There's people who's anti-religion, anti-freedom of speech, anti-everything. It doesn't matter. But if you go back, you know, if one book in this world is questionable, then they all should be questionable because they were all written by man. And I get what you're saying about man being inherently evil at a portion, but I don't believe that is our ultimate destiny that we have to
be. No, I didn't say man is inherently evil. I said that evil and good both exist in man. Prior to the consumption of the knowledge of fruit in the Bible, man was innocent. Think of your young child or your grandchild when they're 2 to 3 years old. They're just learning about the world. You can see the purity of innocence in their eyes, in their actions, in their words. It's not until people grow up and realize the dangers and evils that exist in our world, that innocence is lost. And as adults, as parents, we've all watched it happen with our own children. No parent can deny that, okay?
No parents, it's generations that have been organized basically manner. And basically,
realization of life.
It
happens in every species. Baby gorillas eventually learn that baboons will kill them.
I get all that, but listen to this. There's a quote out there that says, the only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing. And so, it's either this.
Sodom and Gomorrah are proof of that.
You can't compare a baby gorilla to a baboon because... That baboon, listen, That baboon is going to come up and show that baby baboon exactly who he is. What these children are being faced with in school is indoctrination. What these children are being faced with in school has nothing to do with seeing the villain. They don't see that villain. They grow up thinking the villain is a good guy.
Getting misdirected here. My point was that I didn't say man was destined to be evil. I said that good and evil exists in man ever since the fruit of knowledge was taken and eaten. Okay?
So that means that we have to be ever vigilant.
We lose that innocence as we're children, and we realize that there is good and evil. We can't, as good people, we can't realistically exist with evil amongst us. We must have a mechanism in place to protect ourselves from evil in its many manifestations,
well,
whether it's politically,
I believe we have that,
society, or a man with a gun coming at you.
That's
okay.
What we're doing right now.
That's what we're doing right now. We're
exactly.
Using
that's what we've been doing for years on this radio show, many, many years. And I also feel that we have to wake up to the fact that Hollywood and so on and so forth, all these people that are linked in with the agenda. Can I speak?
Yes.
Thanks.
You've got to let people talk, please.
That they give us all the information. They show us exactly what they're doing. They show us in so many ways, through books, through movies, through speeches, through preferences and all that. They show the public exactly what they're doing, what they're about. That's part of the law that they have to abide by. What is really missing is the ability today, and probably for generations, for people to actually be able to discern what is going on, truth from a lie, and so on, and how we are being led incrementally into this corral of a nightmare. Now, why are the people unable to do that? Because we have incrementally been brainwashed and subject from as children in school and various other systems to believe in the authorities and to not have critical thinking, to not use our discernment ability, to not assess the truth from lies. So this is what we're dealing with today. So when we speak a truth or give some information, people are still stuck with their inability to discern what is right, what is wrong, what is good, what is bad, and so on. So this is part of the agenda that we have been under for generations and generations.
And it also goes back to that free will thing, because every morning when you get up, you got a choice. You got a choice to make. You can either go out and be a jerk every day, or you can go out and try to do something positive for this world. Those of us who actually get what the meaning of life is all about, we're actually trying to do something positive with these words that's coming out of our mouth. We're trying to open the hearts and minds of other people so that, you know, kind of keep that balance between good and evil out there. There's people out there that choose the dark side on a daily basis. We can't stop them from doing that. You know, that's their free
will.
No,
we can't.
But what we can do is we can still be a light to other people out there that would maybe be inspired by the words that are coming out of our mouth to try to at least do or think something that they can do positive for each other or make the world a better place. I get it. We're not going to get to a utopia, all right? It's under the current circumstances, and maybe never, but I still believe in the ultimate dream that if we somehow or another, divine intervention or whatever, is some way or another that we could actually come together, kind of like we do whenever somebody dies. I stood up in front of my family on many situations when we had funerals, and I asked my family, I said, why does it always take a tragedy to bring us together? Why can't we do this all the time?
Tragedies bring out the best in the human being.
All those who can say, I have family members that I only see at weddings and funerals, put your hand in the air.
Yeah, I got it.
It wasn't like that when I grew up, buddy. I'll tell you, our whole life was focused around our family. We were constantly visiting in-laws, outlaws. I knew my cousins. We interacted with them. We grew up with them.
Yep.
We don't see that in our society anymore. And that, of course, is all part of the agenda being played out on us to divide us. Everything we see today in society is a mechanism of division. Whether it doesn't matter what you look at, it is underlying factor is a mechanism of division. You could talk about everything that's going on in our society right now. It's all divine. It's all designed to divide us.
But sometimes...
that, till we can get over that, till we can actually recognize the divisions and address them, we're going to be in a lot of trouble.
Sometimes societies and people become their own worst enemy. For example, you know, your neighbor over there, his grass is too tall. It's on your nerves because you think maybe your neighbor should have his grass mowed because you got your grass mowed. Or you live in a homeowners association and something in his yard don't look right. You don't like it. So instead of you going over there asking your neighbor if everything's all right, whether they're sick or, you know, something reason why maybe their lawnmower's broke down, you could borrow mine or something neighborly like maybe you might have seen back in the earlier days of, you know, from where I grew up. It was a lot different back then. But instead... you either get on the phone and call your homeowners association or you get on the phone and call the lawman and you sick the government on your neighbor. Instead of taking the time to go over there and find out what the issue was, can I help you out with your yard or something? Maybe even offer to mow his yard or something, you know? Maybe there's some sort of thing going on. But people don't do that these days because they've been told for so long. Maybe your neighbor's not such a nice guy. Maybe that hitchhiker walking down the road is an axe murderer and going to kill yourself. Society has changed so much, and people haven't recognized that. They haven't seen, well, I can say they recognize it to the extent you see it's not safe to leave your doors unlocked at night or go in certain neighborhoods because you've been told this is a gang territory or maybe even know it's a gang territory. But until... people start figuring out that your family should be number one. You should be taking care of your family. You should be proud of your country, you know. Should be able to be proud of your country at the very least. But you should be taking care of your neighbors. You know, those are the folks that you're going to have to rely on if there's a big collapse of society. You don't want your neighbor being the one rushing over there to harm your family to get whatever you got. That kind of stuff. I don't know where all of this stuff actually originated from. I know the biblical reference and the original sin and all that. I get that. But if humanity is ever to get past all of what we've got going on right now, you got to figure out something. There are people out there who want to manipulate you because in the process of manipulating you, they get their agenda through. They get their finances in order where they want them. They get you to go out there and send your children to go to other nations and fight with their children. The military machine is a real deal. The military industrial complex is a real deal. They make a lot of money. A lot of people make money when you
ride. John F. Kennedy talked about it, and he got shot for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and his brother Bobby.
Of course.
So you got to understand.
I got a question. There's all kinds of people all over North America listening to this show, either live or eventually. I got a serious question for someone living in. And let's pick a tiny little town. I've traveled all over the U.S. and Canada on motorcycle and in truck. Let's pick a tiny little town like Bald Knob, Arkansas. Okay? Just your average little 15,000 people, tiny little town in northern Arkansas. Okay? What the hell does Susie Q in Bald Knob, Arkansas care about a war in Syria? What does Bob in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan care about a war of religion in Iran? Who gives a damn? We got our own problems in our own countries to deal with. Do American citizens really care that much about whether Syrians are killing each other?
Well, I can answer that question because for the most part, most Americans are good people. Most people have good hearts, and those heartstrings are tugged on, whether it be via the patriotic thing or, you know, human rights and stuff like that. And so, you know, governments and people get out there and start convincing everybody, oh, look, it's all terrible. Look what this dictator's doing to these people. We got to go over there. But they never look deep enough into the research to find out that maybe it hasn't got anything to do with human rights. Maybe it's got to do with resources, that if this certain pipeline goes through, that might mean Russia might make more money than we make, and we can't have that. Or
well,
this particular
dictator, here's another thing, too, is that I care, and the person that you're talking about in the small town in Arkansas should care, because if it's our country that is causing this, then by gosh, I need to know, and I want to know why, and if there is no reason for it, which I don't think there is, not for,
okay.
for me, then by gosh, something needs to be done. I do care.
Okay, so we've got two perspectives here. If people are upset because people somewhere in the world are being killed, that upsets people. They care about that. Well, what do they care about more? Dead bodies of total strangers from another country, or dead bodies of their own children coming back in American uniforms fighting a war that has nothing?
Wow.
Which they have to care about one more than the other. I'm sorry, that's just the way reality is.
Why would they have to care about
one? Why would they have to? Because I will not send my children to die for someone else's battle when my children have their own battles and our own country's issues to deal with here first.
Well, we are in our way, we realize in our way, maybe you don't, but we realize, and I'm going to speak for myself, we realize that we are really all connected and all related. We are all one people on this earth, you see. I'm not separate from those people over there who are being killed or slaughtered or genocide being committed over there in Palestine and between, you know, the border there or anywhere. I have a heart for all people. That is my nature. So I don't pick and choose who I'm going to mourn or who I'm going to stand up for. That is my nature, is to stand up for all people, all nations, because I believe that we are all one people on this earth. We all want the same thing.
Okay,
so I'm not picky and choosy. I don't pick and choose who I'm going to mourn for or who I'm going to stand for. I stand for all people who are being subjected to horrors and genocide and wrongs. That's my nature.
Yeah.
I'm not a picker and
I'm
chooser.
Right with you.
Yeah, who I should mourn. It doesn't make sense to me. And I think the majority of people innately have this within them. I really do.
That doesn't make it right.
Well, my scales.
That doesn't make it right, because what you're telling me is that I should be more concerned about the mess in my own living room. How can I complain about the conditions in Syria?
You misunderstood me.
Well, maybe the mess in your living room is caused by this government going into other countries and harming those people. You know, here's the thing, those people aren't picking up guns and firing. Those people are being bombed. They're just like the people over here, right? If your children were being bombed and they didn't have a gun in their hand and they didn't have a rock in their hand, I would hope that someone out there would say, this is wrong. Because it is wrong. It doesn't matter where you live. Your innocence being murdered by governments, then that is the problem. You can't separate one humanity for another. You can't say that, well, those guys over there, they don't have anything to do with me, because they do, because your government is causing it. So therefore, you are the government, supposedly. You represent this country as being a citizen. So you have a responsibility.
I'm not following your math here.
Hang
on. Let me see if I've got this right. According to you, our government is causing the war in another country, and we should agree with sending our troops there?
No, I never said that. No.
I said
you hold your government accountable.
Right.
You hold your government accountable. I don't think what they're doing. We never had a right to go into Libya. We never had a right to go into Syria. We never had a right to go anywhere and throw bombs.
Exactly. I agree.
But that doesn't mean you don't care. That doesn't mean that we don't care. I didn't say to you, you should care more about those people over there than your own family. Those were not my words at all.
But why are we spending money over there?
That's
your
government.
Why are we? Why are we?
Yeah,
that's
why are we?
Government. We agree
you think
with
I want
you.
This? You think any
well,
of us want this?
That's
got nothing to do with humanity. That's got nothing to do with compassion for
but
others.
But yet that's what our government tells us it is.
Well,
that's what
I'm
we
smarter
are
than that.
Something wrong with the government.
I'm smarter than that. I think many
yep.
of us are here smarter than that. I'm not buying the government's saying so, but I feel compassion for all people equally. That is how I am.
I agree with you, Barbara. I share just as big a tears when I see a child oversee being abused or decimated or raped. I shed just as many tears for that child as I do for my own children
right,
because I love all people. I love all people the same way.
Right.
And I can't draw a line between people. We are all people on this planet. And how we're being manipulated, how the governments are running this planet is a travesty, and we have to stand up to it. It's not the people that are doing this. It's the industrial military complex. The guys behind the curtain, the people that are so evil on this planet that all they want to do is see the destruction of the human race, and now we see it being played out.
Well, I want to point something out.
Everybody the exact same way, my life.
I want to point something out to everybody.
Hey, Shaziz, is this your show?
I want to point something out.
Yeah, let's get Shaziz in here. We got to share time here. I know you got lots to say, Duke, but we have to be...
I want to point something out here.
Everybody have a talk here, because this is a roundtable.
I want to point something out for the people out there listening. I don't want you to be under the impression that we're anti-government. We're not anti-government. We're anti-corruption. All right? And when you talk about what we actually bought this show on today, feeding the war machine, you got to understand that there's people out there that have all kinds of agendas, whether it be environmental concerns or whatever. All these people out there have their own agendas. Both sides of the fence have their own agendas. But what it ends up being after it's all said and done is every time there's a riot on a college campus, somebody's making money. Right out of the gate, somebody's
yep.
making money. They're making money off of jailing people. They're making money off of the advertisement from the mainstream media. And so you go on the mainstream media and just scope around and see how many good stories they tell you about on a regular basis. Most generally, it's whatever's going to be the most dramatic or the most controversial to get more people to come back and watch that show. Well, in that process, they're making money. Somebody's agenda's getting furthered. They tell us that there's a terrorist behind every bush, and we got to keep certain races of people out of here, otherwise they're going to come over and kill us. Then suddenly you're looking at everybody else differently. And that's just one little tiny example of what's going on. But these people that are going out there burning down their own communities and then wondering why they ain't got jobs in their communities. If I was a business owner, I wouldn't come back if you burnt down and looted my building. That's just common sense, what doesn't seem so common anymore. But all of these things that you think you're protesting out there are solutions available. There's a solution to save the planet. There's a solution to save the trees. I mean, instead of standing out there protesting with a wooden stick and a paper sign that says save the trees on it, why don't you go out and plant a tree? You know, if you want to be active, be proactive. Get out there and fix something instead of tearing something down. If your environment is polluted, get out there and pull that old tire out of the doggone creek and clean it up, right? It's in your neighborhood. We got to clean our own house before we go out there and clean the rest of the world's house. But somehow or another, America seems to have taken on the role of the world's police and the world's, savior, whatever. We can't even save ourselves. How are we going to save the planet? It's going to take a joint effort of all the people who really care about this world in order to start steering us in the right direction to put those scales of justice back in balance if they ever were in balance. Look, I know.
Well, I want to know one thing. The people on this panel, okay? How many of you got to have a say in the overthrows of governments and the wars that have been happening in the Middle East, Libya, all over the place? How many of you actually had a say in going into these countries and overthrowing them?
Well,
I didn't.
I didn't have but by proxy of my vote for whichever candidate I thought was going to do a good job, but it's like that's the reason why I made Congressman Bongwater the doggone funny spoof.
But did they tell you during, let's say, because we know this happened during the Obama administration when Libya and all these other countries were overthrown, did you vote because they told you they were going to do this, or did they not tell you they were going to do this until after they were in office?
War is the last thing on my mind when I go to vote. My vote is to go to try to, do things for the country like the government was supposed to be doing, you know, but...
So what we're saying is that we didn't have a say in our governments doing these things, yet we are supposed to be, in this country, we are supposed to be the rulers, and they are supposed to do our bidding, yet when was the last time they did our bidding?
I can't remember.
I want to clarify something. You did say, Shaziz, that the people here, or that we, the people, don't want to get rid of the government, that we want to get rid of the corruption. I am standing on the outside of that because I don't think that we need a government. I'm just saying.
In a perfect world, you're right. But the problem is, right now we got so many controversies.
You can't have a perfect world with a government.
Well, I get it. It's like when you go to vote and they tell you got to pick the lesser of two evils. Why don't everybody go out and vote for a third-party candidate and try to change the world that way? They don't do that.
There is no lesser evil. Evil is evil.
We're going to soon have a perfect government because it will be a military government.
Yeah, well, people better watch what they wish for because it might not play out the way they wanted it to. You know, that's why I told everybody, I said, go out there and watch that series, Jericho. All right, if you want to talk about manipulation, if you want to talk about how people can do some really rotten things, watch how the average Joe treated one another. Watch the terrible atrocities they did just to take care of their own, you know. Go watch that series. I'm serious. Watch it from start to finish. And pay real close attention to things that, you know, you saw in the mainstream media. Like, they were really pumping up this whole North Korea nuke in America. Well, that's who basically got blamed in the movie series. Jericho was North Korea nuke in America. Well, it turned out to be some inside factions of our own government that did the deal. And in the process of all this, they had like 10 separate presidents of the United States and 10 separate armies and all this, and they were doing battle against each other. And when it all came down to, the same folks who started the war were the ones who ended up winning the war, and they came in with their own new school books changing the history of everything from the past. See what I'm saying? This is where we got to be careful. You know, before you burn down your own house, at least have a new house to move into. The people of this world need to realize that, you know, there are those out there who do not have your best interest at heart. And before you go out there doing all these crazy protests, at least make sure you know the facts.
You're breaking up.
Yeah, it happens
sometimes.
At least you know the facts. You see what I'm saying? Go ahead.
You're breaking up, Shaziz.
Yeah, that's all right. I can hear you clear. Go ahead. Don't worry about my mic. Just go ahead and talk.
Well, I want to say that what you spoke about Jericho and the things people were doing to each other just to take care of their own, this is a big problem today. And this is going to get worse because it's part of the agenda, is to pit us against each other. You know, divisiveness and hate, and to pit us against each other so that when something does occur, we will not be reaching out to help each other. We will be killing each other.
Yeah.
And this is part of an agenda that I see unfolding in front of us right now. Mm-hmm. How can we prevent such a horror where we will be killing each other instead of reaching out to each other and coming to unity and stepping away from the system that wants us to kill each other, is pitting us against each other deliberately.
Well, that's why I say we got to proceed with caution in everything we do. Thomas Jefferson said the price to freedom was eternal vigilance, and we need to take that to heart. Go ahead, Barry.
We've been sleeping on a job.
Yep.
Yeah, we have, but you know what? Really, when we look at the whole situation, we know that the banksters pretty well control the world at this particular point because money controls our world. And one of the things we've talked about a lot is the effects of a total collapse economically worldwide. I'm listening to some of the top experts in the world economically right now and following information about exactly what's happening with their economies. And I really see this as being the weapon that they're going to use, is they are going to create a worldwide collapse, a depression, like we've never seen in human history. When that happens, well, let me just finish my thought. Duke, and I'll let somebody else talk. But what I say to people is that we have to be prepared for the fact that today you might have $100 in the bank or $1,000 in the bank or $10,000 or $10 million in the bank, and that can be taken away from you literally in 24 hours. And the state of chaos that would put society into is what I really, really like to talk to people about, because when society's mind is put into a state of chaos, we all know this, that the brain will pretty well grab anything that is going to take that scream away from inside their brain. We can't go to the store, we can't do this, we can't do that. Along comes the government with the solution. Problem reaction solution has been used by the government over hundreds and hundreds of years to manipulate society. And that's what I see coming in the very near future. So I warn people about this, because I believe this is just around the corner. This is the mechanism they're going to use to bring society to its knees.
I agree, Barry. That's why I keep on saying that people need to be aware that these folks out here who don't have your best interest are playing this world like a banjo, so to speak. You know, they're manipulating in every doggone direction. And even sometimes the average Joe are using the same tactics to manipulate one another. You get mad because you don't agree with somebody, start foul-mouthing them and everything like that. Where's their rights in the situation? You want them to come over to your side of the argument, then maybe you ought to be more informed and more respectful to the delivery of your message so that you're not starting a riot on your campus at your college. You see what I mean? That's the problem.
What we're dealing with is something hidden, really deeply hidden, so... And we all know this, but the majority of people maybe don't know this. So Gaz put in, 'tis why the Union of America was formed in 1776. This is numerology. 1 plus 7 equals continuation. 7 plus 6 equals 13. And 12, disciples and Jesus. 13, the perfect government. Folks, the Masons are in charge. I mean, we've talked about this for I don't know how long. And that's right. We keep forgetting the magic, if you want to say, the ancient tools that the cabal or the elite has been using upon us. The numbers, especially, signify something that we don't know. The language that we use, you know, the hidden meanings behind the language that we were given.
Well, yeah, and it doesn't matter.
And images, and the imprint and the power of images today.
And it doesn't matter whether the people believe it. Those folks that are involved in these types of scenarios, they believe it. That's the problem.
Well, that's right.
You know, there's where the rub lies, is because don't matter whether you believe in the devil or not. The people who believe in the devil, they're the ones out there doing the deeds. You know? So, we got to get our act together, folks. First off, we got to be vigilant, not paranoid. Because paranoia gets you out there burning down your own communities. Because you think if you go out there and tear your communities down, you're going to get the attention of your government. But you will get the attention, but it won't be the one you want. Because if you look hard enough into the facts, the prisons are private, for profit. Private, for profit. That should tell
you
something.
If you keep staying on this level, this frequency of fear, anger, hatred, and divisiveness, that's what you're going to create. I mean, this is a power that we don't realize that we have. They know what this is all about. We are not privy to that. We just keep following their edict. Be hateful toward each other, get violent, fight in the streets, scream and yell at each other, and push the divisiveness. And that's a power. So there is another side to this. And this is what we talk about here in regards to solutions and that wisdom, that ancient wisdom, and frequency, and the power of words, and collectiveness, collective consciousness, focusing on one thing, positiveness, rather than pushing the negative. Because this is what we wind up doing, and we have to be very careful of that.
Can I just interject?
Sure.
That in many cases, exposing the divisiveness is often misconstrued and blamed as creating the divisiveness.
All right, so with that said, let me go around the table here and ask a question. This is the question I'm going to pose to each and every one of you. Let me ask the question. We know all the problems. We know all the corruption. So now, what in your mind is the solution in order to resolve our nations, our world, into continually going down this dark road that we're actually heading? It's like Molly Hatchet's song, "Flirting with Disaster," because that's exactly what we're doing. We're flirting with disaster. You do nothing, you say nothing, you know, that the whole no see, no hear, no say. So in your mind, what is the solution? How do we resolve this before we lose everything that matters to us?
If I can answer first, I'll answer real quick.
Go ahead.
I've already figured out that I, as a patriot, need to be like Noah. I need to be like Lot, who stood on the hill and walked away from Sodom and Gomorrah. I need to be like Noah, who closed the door and said, "No, you condoned and accepted the debauchery. You are not allowed on the ark."
But what?
I know that that's what I need to be, and that's what patriots and countries who are going to survive this psychological invasion of our cultures.
But what about
need to do?
But what about the man, the one man who lobbied to God to say, if I go into this town and I find this many good people, would you spare the people? What about that guy?
What about him?
He cared enough about the people. He didn't see that all the people in there should be punished for what was going on if he could go in there and find so many good people. Would you spare these people? Both Sodom and Gomorrah. The story talks about both Sodom and Gomorrah. If he could go in there and find this many good people, Lord, would you spare this town? You see what I'm saying? This is what
we... And where did the Lord draw his line? Because Lot said to him, "There are churches." And he said, yes, those are churches who don't follow the word of God. We have churches today that don't follow their own religious beliefs
that
homosexuality is wrong.
I get that.
And
but I'm talking about
gay men.
Let me answer the question before
Hang on,
we get
let me,
into it.
Let me finish my point here. These churches today that have lesbian ministers, gay ministers, they allow gay marriages in their church. I'm sorry, but that is in a direct violation of the very religion that they proclaim to profess.
But the point is,
those churches are sinners and do not deserve saving.
I get that, but the point is that this one man, he was allowed to go into Sodom and Gomorrah to try to find people, and he actually brought a few people out. That if that one man didn't say nothing, all right, okay, let him feel the wrath. All right, well, we're trying to take and help our brothers and sisters around the world by hopefully steering them in a direction that takes us away from that total destruction. You see my point?
I'd like to answer your question.
Sure.
You posted a question to us all.
Yeah, go ahead.
So I'm going to read this out here. What Tracy Kennedy just popped in. She said, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Just stay human and be better." And I agree with that.
100%.
We have to know what we are fighting here, what we are up against, and the power of that knowledge is going to help us. If you don't have that, if you don't have this connectedness, you don't realize it. And Tracy then follows with, "We can't stop this train." I'm wondering if the train needs to go to its end. And then Patty says, "But we can stop our participation in it." And I totally agree.
Yep.
Absolutely. So we have to know what we are dealing here with, folks. It is not of this realm. And it is evil. And it is an energy. And you don't have to participate. My answer is don't participate. Walk away from this evil. Choose not to spew out hate. Choose not to be divisive. That is a key piece, and build your spiritual foundation really strong. That's what I feel.
I want to add to Lisa, also put in chat, we must stand strong in peace and be ready to pick up the pieces after the train crashes.
Right.
Now, Tracy also said no country can stop this. They are bought and paid for. No
right.
government will stop this.
That's right.
The people stop. Are the ones with the guns. The people are the ones flying the planes with the bombs. The people are the ones manning this atrocity across the globe. The people have that responsibility. Now, another question in the chat. This is to the guest, Duke. Can someone ask the guest if he knows where the word church comes from?
No, but if this is about terminology, there's look, my vision of church and somebody else's vision of church is probably two different things, because what Jesus said to me, all right, and I'm not trying to sway you over to my religion, but Jesus said to me that any time two or more people come together in my name, there shall I be also. So wherever I stand with some brother or sister, that's my church. It's
but he didn't call it a church. What Neutron is asking is the word church that is applied to the religious organizations.
That's
where that came from.
That's the key. Just to clarify my personal perspective on religion, me, not society, I'm talking about me, Duke Willis. My relationship with my God is between my God and me. It's not up for anyone else to judge, to ratify, to approve of, or disapprove of. And that is where the organized concept of religion comes into an issue with me.
I agree.
And I've been
question.
Members of a church. Do I know where the name church comes from? No. Do I understand the concept of why religion was organized, structured? Yes, as a means of control. The Vatican and the Roman Catholic Church were the first loosely knit form of society government ever implemented in the world. Well, I shouldn't say that. It's not the first, but it's the most prolific. It covered the biggest portion of the world as a unified ideology.
Okay, so Neutron has put in, church comes from the Scots word kirk. Kirk comes from Circe. Roman Circe comes from Circe's Greek, and that word means goddess.
Okay.
Just saying.
Okay.
He's putting that in. Circe's would take people into her home,
mm-hmm.
close the door, and devour them, he says.
So was there anybody left to answer the question? I think Barry didn't answer that question.
What question?
The one I posed to everybody.
The original question.
We got lost. But go ahead.
What question? We got sidetracked.
Yeah, we got sidetracked.
The solution.
This is an excellent show, guys.
The solution.
Thank you.
In your mind.
Yeah, anytime we get a lot of people. Listen, anytime we get
you
a lot of people together.
You mean snarky there, sis?
No, I'm not. I'm not.
That's a solution. Anytime we get people in here with different opinions, it's great, because that's what we're here for. We're here to talk. We're here to discuss opinions and thoughts. And, you know, people listening to this show, this is the best thing that can possibly happen, because you're hearing different perspectives from different people.
That's
and they're all intelligent conversations.
Yeah.
How do we solve the problems in the world today?
Yeah.
Let me answer that question, okay? Honestly, in my life, what I believe right now, what I see coming, I follow biblical prophecy very, very closely in my life. It's one of the things that it kind of guides me and influences my life right now. Everything I see happening right now is prophesied. I believe that what is prophesied is going to be fulfilled, okay? So since that being said, to me, the most important thing in my life right now is my connection to Jesus Christ and the strength and the wisdom
and the lack of fear that he brings into my life about what is coming, because as a human race, we are going to be subjected to things that I would not wish on my worst enemy. But I know they're coming. I know it's true. And for me to have my spiritual armor on, to make sure that I start my day in prayer, to me, that's the most important thing in my life right now, period, bar none. Because what is coming, I really don't, honestly, from the bottom of my heart, believe we can stop the madness that's coming. But we can change our lives. We can prepare ourselves. And when I say prayer does that to me, I couldn't say that 10 years ago in my life. I couldn't. But I can say it now because I get up in the morning and there's always that negative force on my shoulder going, hey, walk away from it. I get up in the mornings, I don't even want to go near this crap, but I have to. And I say my prayer, buddy, and I'm raring to go and ready to get into the fight. Well, so it's in my life.
It's all about choice, isn't it, Barry? I mean,
it is.
This time that we're in. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, you want to really impact people's lives, and you know what, it sounds corny, but go out and smile and say good day and how are you doing to every stranger you meet and watch the effect on people, because I do it every day in my life. There isn't a person that walks by me that I don't say, hi, how are you doing?
Just do what you can, when you can, and where you can to bring peace, to bring knowledge, and you know, you're not going to get this world to agree on everything. But there are things that we can agree upon that make sense. Like to stand in love of a fellow man. To not cast stones. If all of us or the majority of us decided that we were no longer going to fight against our fellow man, and start concentrating on bringing the right frequency and vibrations of love and of unity in purpose, we could change things, even if it was just in our own microcosm, that would bring peace. Yep. Nothing that we're doing when we come together and yell and scream and throw stones creates anything worth doing, anything worth suffering. People continue to suffer because we can't come together. People continue to suffer because we refuse to walk away from the corruption that is all over this globe. People are suffering and dying because we choose to look away when those bombs are being drawn or dropped, and we refuse to take responsibility that we might have something to do with it, you know?
Yeah.
We sit here trying to figure out solutions, these difficult problems. The solutions are not that difficult, but we refuse to come together to talk about them. This is where we are erring. We are not each other's enemies. We never have been. The governments create reasons that we should hate each other. We don't create them. This thing called racism is ridiculous. It's ludicrous. It makes no sense whatsoever for somebody who has the knowledge and enlightenment to see through this. This is what we've got to stop doing, is throwing stones at each other. We don't have to pick up that stone. We don't have to throw it. That's a choice. That's a choice we make.
That's right. And I want to take this time to thank everybody here. I want to thank you for your honesty and basically, you all have valid points on every perspective that was said here. When we come from quite a diverse, group of people. You know, we don't always all have the same, exact spiritual journeys, but the key is that we can sit here and respectfully, nobody's really gotten a fight here today, even though we had, a couple things that we may not see eye to
passion.
Eye on. Yeah, we said it with passion, but the whole deal is, like Patty just said, the only way we're ever going to even have a chance to fix this is when we decide we got to come together to do just that. Look, I don't agree with everything that's going on out there in this world. I definitely don't agree with going out killing nobody. I got my own personal beliefs about it, but I'm not trying to force it down your throat. That's not what I'm trying to say here. We're trying to put the information on the table to let you know you got a choice. Every morning when you wake up, it's like a brand new clean slate when the sun comes up. You got a choice that day. How are you going to be that day? What are you going to do for this world? That's about the best we can do. And I may very well be the very last man standing on the battlefield saying peace and love and can't we all get along. But that's my heart. I'm going to stay in this fight against the darkness as long as I'm able to. I'm going to continue to say the words that I still believe that people can, you know, come together. I don't believe everything's written in stone, even though my good book says that, you know, these things will come to pass. I believe there was words that Jesus actually said that said, unless these days be shortened, then these things will come to pass. So, you know, that told me that maybe if we took and used everything that we were given by our Creator, all this beautiful world that we live on, we got more resources than we could ever use in a trillion lifetimes. There's those who would disagree with me. This planet is nowhere near being overpopulated. There's millions of people that'll disagree with me. There are all kinds of examples of what I just said of why it is that people think that we don't have enough to feed everybody. We don't have enough to shelter and heal everybody and all these controversial things. We live in the year 2018. We still have homelessness. I ask the question why. We still have sickness. I ask the question why. We still have starvation. I ask the question why. And if somebody in this world can't get a fresh water to drink with the technology that we have available, I'm asking the question why. Because we have a choice. We have the technology. We have the capability. We can amass armies and tons of machinery and medical supplies and weapons and everything you can possibly think about to go over there and mop somebody into the third world status or back to the caveman, so to speak. But yet we can't take that strength, that power, that knowledge and our technology and go out there and help to uplift these countries. Why are we allowing corporations to go into places like Mexico and pollute their environment and not be responsible? Why are we allowing people to do all these atrocities to one another around the world? Why is it that there are people like pirates or gangs or whatever, you go to send aid over to a foreign nation and give them food and medicines that they need, but yet somebody can steal it before they even get there? If you got the strength of a military that you got time to go around and blow up the world, why don't you take that food and you use the strength of your military to walk it in there and hand them folks a sandwich and a blanket? That's what I'm asking.
Because they need war. Because they need war. It's as simple as that. Because the industrial war complex needs war.
That's right.
Those people need bodies. They need blood sacrifice. They need war. They need children. You see, but the point is, ultimately, that we're told that we are hopeless, it's all hopeless, and we're helpless, but we're not. And I think that's what we have to come to realize, that all that they are telling us have been lies, basically to manipulate our lives and our minds and our brains, that of our ancestors, our children, and so on. So we are not helpless, and it is not hopeless. There are solutions, and we keep giving them out.
Well, my God never told me to lay down to evil. Never did. Not once.
Huh?
My God never told me to lay down to evil. My God never told me to just lay down and let the devil walk right over me.
Well, that's common sense. That should be common sense. But the people can't discern what's evil these days. That's the key right there. Because the people's critical thinking is out the window deliberately. Just saying.
That's why Lot walked away from Sodom and Gomorrah. That's why Noah locked the doors to the ark. Because if you can't tell the difference. If you are the baker who bakes the cake for the gay wedding and doesn't refuse to bake that cake, you can't tell the difference. You're one of the people that Noah will not let on the ark. Do you see the point I'm making?
Well, I get what you're making, but
I have a 4-year-old granddaughter who's insisting that Grandpa takes her for a donut at Tim Hortons, so I have to get going, folks. I very much appreciate our conversation. This has been a great Sunday morning, and Barry, please invite me back again. I love talking with these folks. You people have been an amazing Sunday morning. Thank you so much for letting me rant. And I just want to close with two points. One, I forget her name. I'm not sure who I talked to here. You mentioned that we need to stop throwing stones. Well, I would like to point out that sometimes stones have to be thrown in defense. Case in point, Israel. Israel has a right to throw stones back at those who are throwing stones at them. And yes, I agree. This is all about choice. But the choice is not how we're going to deal with what we see today, which are the manifestations of evil. The choice that we as humans, as people, as a race, not a nation, not an ethnicity, as the human race, we have a choice to make, and it's a very simple one. It's the one that we have had to make our entire lives since Eve gave Adam the fruit of knowledge. Our choice is one between good and evil. That's the bottom line, folks. Have a great Sunday, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for letting me come on and rant. Barry, love you, guy.
Thank you, Duke. It was really awesome having you on. Really, truly was. And yeah. I hope to see you back again.
Great to have you on. I wish we could respond to your, I talked about the stones. I'm talking about the stones. You know, stones and bullets, big difference. I mean, stones can do harm, but those people don't have bullets. And when you just shoot people because they're throwing stones, yeah, it's just a difference there. But, you know, you have your perspective, and absolutely, I agree.
Thanks for coming in, Duke.
Perspective.
All right,
thanks, folks. I had a great morning.
Basically, we started off this show about feeding the war machine, and now you can see it's real easy to feed the war machine. You know, all the time, all these debates and all these different controversies, riots and protests, they all boil down to the same thing. Who's behind the scenes? It's like Jerry Springer's show. He go over tell one side, this guy said something to you and the other.
Well, look, we have some comments. We have some comments here in the chat that I think are important to read, you know.
Well, let's hear them.
And because
I'm out of here, folks. Barry, I'll be on tonight, Canadian Patriot Report on YouTube. If you want to join me on Skype, you know how to do it. Folks, take care. If you want to join me on Skype tonight, Barry can tell you how to find me on YouTube, Canadian Patriot Report at 9 o'clock Ontario time. See you, folks. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you.
I'm going to read what Lisa says here. She says, so Israel steals land and murders Palestinians, then has a right to shoot the oppressed that only have stones to throw. Well, pretty much that's what's been going on, you know. That happened at Standing Rock. It happened with the Indian people here on Turtle Island when the government did that. You know, same thing. I'm just saying. You oppress people and then you shoot them, and they have no weapons to defend themselves. That's part of an agenda all over the world, isn't it?
Mute, Barry.
Oh, sorry. Sorry.
It's also a case.
I forgot. Again, I meant to mute out.
It's also a case.
Sorry.
You got radical people on both sides of the fence as well, but you got people who get on one side, they'll start shooting rockets across the other side, they'll retaliate, then it's back and forth. I keep going back to the two little Palestinian girls and a reporter that said, do you ever want peace with Israel? Well, these two little children, because of the life that they've had to lead, they said, no, we never want peace with Israel because they killed our mommy and daddy. But also on the same side of the spectrum, you got to look on the opposite side of the fence, and there might be two little girls on that side. All these wars have been perpetual over there for so long that it's ridiculous. And if you go into any of these nations, the hate and the propaganda that is perpetrated against, I don't believe that every person in the Middle East is a bad person. I don't believe that every person in the United States is a bad person. I believe that there are good-hearted people, average families, just like you and I, in every single nation. I believe that the ultimate responsibility lies to those folks who are quite literally allowed legally in some cases to propagandize their people to get them to hate each other and continue the fight. So maybe Israel's at fault on their side, maybe Palestine's at fault on their side, maybe there's a whole lot of fault to go around, but how are we going to get past this? How are we going to stop these doggone wars? It was either Patty or Barbara said something about not being part of it. Put the doggone gun down if you don't believe in fighting with people. You don't believe in killing people. Put it down. Don't participate. Those were the words I heard somebody say. You know, and until the people realize, it's like that doggone Bug's Life thing, and I'm going to play it again on the way up out of here, because the grasshoppers told those people, he said, when those ants realize that they outnumber us 100-1, our way of life is going to change. It's time for the doggone elitist of the world's way of life to change. It's time for us to stop feeding that beast that's eating us alive. It's time for us to stop feeding the war machine. And we do it all the time. Folks, you go shopping at Walmart and all these different fancy stores because they give you low prices, and then you complain about atrocities in the world where before you ever even look to see where are they getting all these products that they're making. Are they buying them from China, who might not give their workers, the proper amount of money for their time work? Are they buying them from Mexico, from where they might be polluting their environment? Are they buying them for other countries that aren't as lucky as us to be able to be afforded, some decent pay and civil and human rights? Are you just spending your money just haphazardly and giving it to the same people who gave you the monopoly money to begin with? They created the money. They gave it to you. They use that money against you constantly. And the Federal Reserve is a prime example that's not even part of the government. It's a private bank. But the majority of the people, even those who know it, can't do nothing about it. Or won't do nothing about it. But you keep spending your money in places where you know that these people are maybe you don't know, but you're not paying attention to find out. You're not taking the time to find out, is this a company worth supporting? If you don't like the things that they're doing, then, those people go out and boycott companies all the time. But, it's taken off into the wrong doggone direction in most cases, because somebody doesn't agree with somebody's political view, and it's the two sides of the same doggone coin you're fighting over. But you're out there buying things from people who are abusing and oppressing other people to get things. Why not make some mom and pop shops? Why not start making your own products? Because you're the ones out there farming the fields. Open up a market and start selling the food to people direct. They know that farmer ain't the one over there oppressing these people. You see what I'm saying? And for Pete's sake, if you're going to be hollering about somebody starving in this world, take a little smaller portion off of on your plate than you would otherwise, and don't waste it. Because between the waste here in America, between the hypocrisy here in America, and I'm beating my own country up. You can beat your own country up because you live there. You know it. You live the life. But between the hypocrisy of the government, between the hypocrisy of the media, between the hypocrisy of the people, between the wastefulness, and between all the craziness that's gone on, we are quite literally making life miserable for people around this world, and we're making it just as miserable for our own people here in this country. We've got people living under bridges. We've got people that can't get food. We've got people that feel it necessary to go out and steal to try to survive. We got homeless children. We've got sickness in our land. We got to fix our own house. I get that. But how are we going to fix our own house? How are we going to do any of these good things that we keep talking about and implement these solutions if we are not willing to get up and be proactive and do these on a regular basis? Barry said something simple like, go out and smile at somebody. That makes a lot of sense to me. You go out and you spread that doggone love. It does work, Barry. But you go out and spread that love. That's a start. Every positive pebble in the pond, that's a start. But if you want to fight against the war machine, you've got to stop supporting the war machine. If you want to fight against the police, don't go stand up next to a bunch of guys and guns dressed like stormtroopers. Go out there and do it the right way. All right? And the wrong way is when you go out there and you allow them to get violent and pepper spray you and throw you in jail, because guess what? That police officer, he's still getting paid. The news media that filmed it all, they're still getting paid. The jailhouses, which are now 90% for-profit private prisons, they're still getting paid. The congressman that makes the laws, and the you know, the Senate, and the executive, the judicial, the legislative branch of government, they're all still getting paid. You won nothing. Absolutely nothing. All you did was set your people back yet even farther. Instead of calling the government on your people, stand up and fix something that's broken. That's what I'm saying.
And just to clarify, your house, my house, is the earth. It doesn't matter where you live.
Yep.
It doesn't matter what country you live in. Amen. We have one earth. It's where we all live. There can be no peace in one part of the earth if there is no peace elsewhere.
That's right.
The only way we bring peace is if we stand up and work toward peace, regardless of what we have to face to do it. You talk about courage.
Exactly.
You talk about courage of the peacemaker. That is what courage is, to stand against any hate rhetoric, to stand against any racism, any bias, to stand against any government that attributes itself to war in order to exist.
That's it.
This doesn't need to be. We, the people of this earth, we are responsible when it all comes down to it, because we make the war work. We make all of these things happen by either acquiescing out of ignorance or by denying knowledge.
It was
to
said,
others.
It was said that he who lives in glass house should not throw stones. It was also said that let he without sin cast the first stone. So, you know, while you're out there judging your brothers and sisters for everything under the sun and beating each other up and burning down your communities, you know, you're making yourself into the same thing that you profess to despise. It's that simple. And we got to get our act together. There's no nice way to say it. We have to get our act together. We're all living in the same boat, this beautiful earth that we're on. You know, it's our home. Home's where you stand. I agree with Patty.
Be the power.
That's
instead
it.
Of being the sheep.
We have solutions, people.
We do. We have solutions to every problem on the planet. I honestly 100% believe that, until we can take control of this planet. We talk about a unifying cause for the human race to get behind and stand on. And, you know, the destruction of our planet should be the unifying voice heard worldwide right now. I urge people to go read the last report from the World Wildlife Federation. Of course, they're a government agency, but they are respected for the reports. And read the reports on the die-off of mammals since 1970. On this planet. Read the report about die-off of all animals on this planet since 1970. If that doesn't shock you to the core of your very being and doesn't get you involved in stopping what's happening to this planet, because we all have to live on this planet. We have no other place to go. And I look at the future for our children right now, and without being a doomsayer, it is bleak. Being a realistic person, it is a bleak future, but we have all the answers. What Shaziz talks about on a Saturday morning shows, guys, you've got to tune in. And listen, I don't participate in those shows because I'm not a scientist, but I understand what he's trying to do. He's trying to point out to us that we have all the solutions. I talk about solutions all the time, and yet people go about their lives like things are never going to change. We have to get away from the system. We have to realize that the system is the one thing that is destroying us all. We could talk about multiple aspects of that, and we don't have time. But the fact is that they're destroying us, and we have to change that. Our children are going to pay the price, guys. We know this now. We know all this information. There's no hiding it anymore. There isn't. You can't go out and say that what I just said about the World Wildlife Federation statement. Well, go Google it and read that report, because I just read their last report on it, and it shook me right to the core.
Yep.
We are looking at an extinction-level event happening on this planet in the next generation or sooner.
if we don't change things. And if that doesn't spark you into getting involved and looking at this stuff, then really your soul, I don't know if your soul's gone past the point of being reached. Because my life right now is focused on the future of our children. I look at what's happening to the planet and the pile of crap that we're leaving for them. They don't deserve this. I want to apologize for my ignorance for years growing up to what was actually going on. But now that we all know, we just got to kind of reach our friends, like, show love to people every day. It's an amazing effect for people. Amazing. Because I love everybody, and I hate seeing what's going on in this planet right now. It drives me crazy. I pray every day, ask my Lord why he's allowing this to go on. I don't have all the answers, but I know what I see is real, and that what we're looking at is a very, very bleak future for our children, but we have the answers. We can change it all. We got to change our hearts, guys. Our hearts are the most important thing. We've got to reach out to whatever you connect as being spiritual in your life, and get involved. Yep. That's all I can say. I don't know what else to say to people at this point.
I'm with you. Folks, it's about time for us to go around the table. Before I do that, I want to put a plea out to everybody, you know. If you like what you hear on this show, pass this podcast on. If you know somebody who's getting ready to protest and they feel like they ain't got no voice to the government and they want to, you know, express what they got going on or what they're hoping to achieve, we might have a solution here.
Barry,
thanks. We might actually have a solution here. We might have a resolution. You know, we might not, but we got enough good-hearted people around here that are really good with keyboards and information, and we can get messages out when we need to get them out. You know, it took a long time, but, you know, we actually got something going on over there in Florida to help their environmental concerns. So things can get done. You know, the wheels of justice may grind slowly in this day and age, but still, nonetheless, they're still moving, and we keep moving them forward. But my plea to the world is, if you've got an environmentalist group out there that is getting ready to protest on there, send them over here to the Knights of the Round Table. Send them in to listen in to, you know, the Mad Science Show. And maybe we might just give them some ideas. You know, maybe they might give us some ideas. But before they go out there and, you know, do all the protesting, bring them to the table. Bring them to the round table, and let's try to sort things out and figure out a good, peaceful way to go about things to get results. We can get results, because when the people stand up in unison and they let their voice be heard, you would be surprised at how fast things actually get done. There's a saying from where I come from, is the squeakiest wheel gets the grease. Right now, the squeakiest wheel are the activists out there raising a ruckus, and the squeakiest wheel are the lobbyists that lobby Congress, and there's a lot of palms being greased as well. We got to stop that corruption in the finances that, you know, go into our government system. That's how we get that under control. We got to hold the mainstream media's feet to the fire when they start telling lies. We point out their lies. That's why the alternative media has become so powerful, and that's why they want to censor us. That's why they want to shut us down. Because we use the power of the spoken word to talk to our brothers and sisters and give them another side of the story that they wouldn't have otherwise heard on the mainstream media. We're not afraid to be called tinfoil hat-wearing conspiracy theorists. Because the way that we deliver our message, if you actually take the time to research what Barry's talking about, what Patty's talked about, what Barbara's talked about, what I've talked about, and people in this chat room, concerns that are brought up by, you know, guests in on the show and in the chat rooms or whatever, you know, if you actually take the time to look into it, there's a real need out there. I believe, I know we have every solution to every problem, but it's up to us to take it upon ourselves and get up and do something about it. So with that said, which one of you folks want to go first there? Don't everybody jump to the microphone at once, might chip a tooth.
I'll go first. Never believe that you don't have the power. Never put your faith in that. If you think that you don't have what it takes to make change, then you've defeated the very purpose that you're here now. Because if you're listening, if you're paying attention, you see what is happening, you see what is going on, And if you feel that you are not powerful enough to make change, then I ask you to go back a decade and see where we were and look at the truth that we brought, the knowledge that we brought to the people that woke the masses up. You did that. I did that. Everybody who is here has done their part in bringing knowledge. We're not done. We have made inroads. We have made our truth known. We have given knowledge to the people. If you cannot take that knowledge, if you refuse to look at that knowledge, if you refuse to find out the truth, then you have defeated yourself.
That's right.
If you think that what you're hearing from the governments and that what you're hearing from the mainstream media is the truth, then you have defeated yourself. If you cannot see the truth behind that, then you have defeated yourself. We are here because of one reason. You're listening, you're participating because of one reason, and that's because you actually care. You want to make a change. You want things to change. You see what is wrong. Your government will not create peace. Your government will not create unity. Your MSM will not create peace or unity. That's up to you, and that's up to me. And the only way that we do that is through sharing knowledge, coming to the table, talking with each other. If you feel that throwing stones and spouting out rhetoric of hate and bias and racism is the way to go, then you've defeated yourself. You've defeated the purpose. You know, we talked about and heard people talk about this time that we're in as being prophesied. If you truly do believe that, then you should also realize that this is a test for you and me and everyone else to see where we go from here. If you're stuck in the loop of this corruption and the lies, then you will repeat the corruption and the lies. If you pull yourself away from it and say, no more, I'm going to speak of peace, I'm going to walk the walk of peace, I'm going to give knowledge instead of hate, I'm going to give solutions instead of racism, instead of division, then you are doing everything that you can.
Yep.
We have to change the world. We have to make things better because we're the only ones that are ever going to do it. Your government's not going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Your church isn't going to do it. Nobody is going to do it unless you yourself stand up and say, I'm going to make change. That's your power. You have all the power that you need to change this world. You've always had it, and you always will. That's your gift. That's what you came here with, the ability to make change through your choices. We all have this choice. It's time to make that choice and stand in that truth. Just saying.
That's brilliant. And to back up what Patty just said, for those folks out there that might want to say that we never do nothing, we have over 600 podcasts full of solutions to back up our consistency and the message that we've been putting out here. We credit that to all the people that show up in the chat room. We credit that to People for People Network, Wolf Spirit Radio, and all the other affiliated networks, and anyone who shares links and podcasts and rebroadcasts and so on. We credit that to the comments in there, people like Stephen Gibbons who puts a resource page, which you can go up there in the super chat and you can click on that link, and there's all kinds of alternative energy research that he has compiled a list of researchers and information for you out there for your environmental and clean, renewable, alternative energy needs and such. We've been doing this for a long time. We've been begging and pleading for people to join us at the table to sit there and try to work these things out. And if you think the words aren't powerful, you're fooling yourself. If you're looking for a miracle, maybe you need to go look in the mirror, because you're the one you've been waiting for, and we need you. We, all of us together, one of us by ourselves can do some amazing things, but all of us together, you see what this round table is about. If you haven't seen what this round table is about now after over 600 podcasts, then you haven't really been paying attention. We do care. That's why we're here. And we're not doing it for fame or fortune. We're doing it because we want our future generations to be able to live in a world better than what we've had to experience, that's for sure. And every one of us that's sitting here right now that you've listened to today, we've all had hard times. We've all had troubled times, and we all had to rely on our brothers and sisters to pull us up out of the dirt. These kind folks that are right here on this panel right here, they do that for me all the time, because I get so discouraged. I get so disheartened and saddened by the things that are going on. And if it weren't for these gentlemen and ladies here, I wouldn't be doing what it is I'm doing, because I probably wouldn't be strong enough to do it by myself. But I'm going to keep on trying. I'm going to keep on doing the best I can. So with that said, Barbara, you got any words of wisdom?
Hi, everyone. I'm back. Took a little
always,
break.
Always.
I just so much appreciate everyone here and this opportunity always. And I love hearing everyone's perspective. I love the way we care about each other most of all and stand by each other, and we're all really pretty much on the same page. We might have a few little perspectives that are, you know, kind of different, but ultimately, you know, I've always said we all really want the same thing. All of humanity, I believe, no matter your religion or whatever, your politics. And that's what I think we keep missing, is we all want peace. We all want something good for the coming generations. You know, we need each other in order to do that. We can't get that. We can't get there through divisiveness and hatred and so on, and not being able to have an open heart and really listening to each other, because we ultimately all want the same thing. I feel we are at an extraordinary time. I've always spoken about this. When we get done with these shows, I'm thinking about all that we said and all that we introduced here and all that we brought in, the difficult subjects and also the good things, the solutions. To me, you know, I feel like we are at a moment in our history, human history, that is an awesome, awesome opportunity. And I think we need to look at it as an opportunity to fulfill, you know, the dream that we all have, which is world peace and unity and health, good health. Yeah, the whole thing, clean water, everything, you know, that we all really need and want. And put aside these differences that are the political agendas, really. Because that's what it is, because I don't know, who was it? I think Patty said, yeah, our government isn't going to pull things together for us, for peace. They need the war machine. That's how they survive. So when we wake up to that, what do we have left? We have each other left, you know. So I think we're at an extraordinary moment in human history, and we are being asked basically to wake up at this time, to choose, either to choose to stay in that chaos, the frequency of chaos and divisiveness, or to choose the other pathway, which to me is love and compassion and brotherhood and sisterhood. I think this is a spiritual moment in time, a major spiritual moment in time, a time of choosing either the dark or the light. And I'm going to say it like I feel it is, either to choose the evil pathway, or the pathway to love and enlightenment, because this is a timeline, prophecy-wise, where we're supposed to be doing this. We're at that critical point in time right now. So many prophecies are unfolding, the positive ones and the negative ones. They're running, sort of jockeying for position, and, you know, as we have come to realize that we are the ones who feed the dark. That's the food.
We basically, our words, our thoughts, and our behaviors feed either the light or the dark. It's as simple as that, but it is so powerful beyond our imagining the abilities that we do have. So what you create, you know, is what you believe in and what you, how you speak. But you can't speak peace and speak love and turn around in the next breath speak hatred and divisiveness, you know. It doesn't work that way. Either you are love or you're hate. You can't play both this game. It just doesn't work that way. The energy of love is powerful. The energy of our words is extraordinarily powerful. It's ancient wisdom I'm talking about here. This is nothing new. And those that are bent on manipulating us and controlling us know about this ancient wisdom, and they are using it against us. So that's why we keep talking about unity and to be careful, you know, what you say, what you speak about. That's so powerful. So I'm always saying, you know, this is the time to get right with your creator. I mean, I started saying that a few years ago, sounding like a preacher, but I guess that's what it takes, because it's not just, it's not, I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about yourself, your connectedness to the source of something far greater than us humans here. Something more miraculous, looking at the Mother Earth, you know. I think we've been deliberately removed from our fundamental nature, which is nature itself, the mother, the healer out there, the giver of life. I think that has been part of it, that we've been, you know, we've lost touch with reality, our real true reality. It's deprivation of the most important thing, which is our sensory connectedness to the Mother Earth, which basically is the healer, and to our Creator, Great Spirit, Wankantank, Atakashlo, or God, whatever word you use, it does not matter. So I think we're deliberately been removed from our fundamental nature, which is children of the earth, sacred beings, sacred children, no matter how old you are. That's your fundamental nature. We've been deliberately removed from that, taken away from that, where we are unable to feel, we're unable to sense or even look at another person and feel their pain or even love them, because we've been told that they're different or whatever. They're the problem, you know. Nobody else is the problem. We are all in this together. And, you know, our elders did say we are who we've been waiting for. And so I say nobody's going to come and save us. We are here to do that. We are here to make the determinations and the decisions and use our free will to choose what we want to manifest here in this coming times, because we are reaching a crucial time. So I feel positive. I'm not in fear. I have a great hope. My heart is always filled with gratitude and love for every one of you and all those listening here on the chats. And I know our voices and our good words and our frequency here that we're emanating is moving out not only to the listeners we see here on chat, but throughout the whole of the sacred web. That's how powerful we are. And again, I just want to thank you all for being here and allowing me to be here too. Philomaya Doksha.
Well, thank you. It's our
wonderful words.
Awesome. And Patty, you wanted to plug your show before this show's over. Why don't you play it real quick?
Oh, okay. Yeah, we've got up at 9 p.m. UK time, 3 p.m. CST time. We've got Devin and Shannon from the show Rise of Awakenings going to be joining us on the round table. It's going to be a really, really good conversation, and I hope you guys will join us then also following that. I think, what was it, 11 p.m. UK, was it? Not sure, but we will have Jordan Maxwell will be on tonight with Gaz, so definitely don't want to miss that. Thanks,
Jordan.
Thanks,
Barry. Jordan Maxwell. Jordan Maxwell is an awesome guy.
So that leaves you, Barry.
Well, boy, I got a million thoughts going through my mind, and to put them into a short sentence would be very difficult. But what I will tell you is that when I come into this room, the love I feel in this room is real, and that we're here because we really are trying to reach people's hearts. And really, at this point in history, what else can we do? Because we are going to see some bleak times in human history. My Bible tells me about that, but it also tells me that there's a good time coming. But we're going to go through some crap first.
And I honestly believe that. So really, to me, it's just making a connection with your spiritual person. Wherever you connect with spiritual, that will change your life, and it'll give you the strength and the courage you need. Because we are going to see some dark times, man, and we're going to need to be courageous. We're either going to have to stand for what we believe in or fall under the machine that's going to crush us.
That's right.
Manifestation, the manifestation of evil right now, if you want to call it the frequency of evil, well, the frequency of chaos is being manifested on this planet right now at light speed. We see the whole world falling into chaos. And, boy, I'll tell you, when this happens, guys, you've really got to keep your feet on the ground and realize what's happening and prepare yourself for it, because I honestly believe those times are coming, and I don't like to sound like a doomsayer. I honestly, honestly believe with all my heart that these times are coming. And all I can say to people right now is that if I didn't have a spiritual connection, I would absolutely go insane. That's all I can say. It's real in my life, and he has made a change in me that no other person or entity could have made in my life. And the way I see people, the way I see life right now, is different from the person I was years ago. I don't even recognize that person anymore. So it's working for me. That's all I got to say, guys. Love you all. Thanks for having me, and I love talking with Barbie and Pat. It's just unbelievable conversations we get going here, and it was good to get Duke in to get another opinion in today. He's a little bit dominating, I'll say, but he has lots to say. Yeah, I was typing in the chat there. Yeah, he's a great guy. He really is. He's just full of information. He's very, very knowledgeable. And it was good to have him in here, because we're here to share opinions and, you know, possibly adjust people's opinions, you know, if they hear things that absolutely make sense to them and are logical. Maybe we'll influence people's thoughts, and that's what we're here to do. So great to have this conversation. I look forward to it every week, guys. I do.
Thanks, everybody. Look, folks, I'm going to say this phrase again because it's really, really kind of important. The only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is that good men do nothing. There's a controversy over which one of the good men actually said that initially, but nonetheless, the word's still powerful words. Look, there's some other powerful words that, you know, were told to me that, you know, here I am, I'm talking about I still believe in the dream that, you know, maybe one of these days we can all come together and fix this world and basically bring about a heaven on earth. I get what all the prophecies said. I understand all that. But Jesus said something to me. He said that if I had the faith of a mustard seed, that I could move mountains. So essentially what I'm doing with my portion of what I'm saying here on the round tables is I'm taking my faith of a mustard seed, and I'm making every possible attempt to move those mountains. Those mountains of oppression, those mountains of corruption, those mountains of all the negativity and the evil that we find ourselves under the gun of. That big giant beast, I feel like David fighting Goliath, you know. I got a little rock, he's a giant, you know. I feel like that, but I still believe. I believe in the words that Jesus told me. I believe that if I do have the faith of a mustard seed, that I can move mountains. And I'm just one person. Imagine what we could all do together if we all had the faith of a mustard seed. If you think about a mustard seed, just a little tiny thing. So you're not being asked much of. All you're asked is that you have the belief and the faith that it is possible that we can make this world better. And that goes into what Barbara was talking about, goes into what Patty was talking about, goes into what Barry was talking about. We're not trying to put you into a place where you don't believe in yourself. The miracle that you've been looking for, go look in the mirror, you'll see that miracle. Each and every one of you, all together with your brothers and sisters out there, have the capability to do amazing things with all the gifts that we've been given. That's what we're here for. I do have the faith of a mustard seed. Actually, I feel like I got the faith of a mountain, but I just go with the mustard seed. It's good enough for me because I know how powerful and glorious that my God is. All right, and I believe in the power of love, and I believe in the power of the spoken word, and I believe in the mission that we've all set forth to do. I don't believe this is all an accident. I believe we've come together for a reason, and I believe that all these networks and anyone who shows up in this chat room and shares these messages with everybody, I believe that those are the positive pebbles being thrown in the pond that one day might throw that tsunami of love towards the entire world, and then everybody will wake up and get it. There is a better way. There are solutions available. We don't have to wait for a tragedy like my family that waits for somebody to die and goes to a funeral and then gathers and has a meal together. That we do this all the time because we love one another. I love each and every one of you out there listening, even those that, of you that want to criticize me, mock me, or ridicule me for my belief that we're going to get past this mess. It's okay. Because I'm going to keep on shining that same exact light with my little faith of the mustard seed. I'm going to keep on shining that light until the last man standing, until it's over, until the last bell rings and my God shows up down here to sort it all out. I'm going to keep on doing what I believe in my heart is the right thing to do. I want those babies to be fed. I want those homeless people to have a home. I want all these things that we hear about. I want the end of starvation. I want the end of all the atrocities that we hear, the wars and the rumors of wars and the plagues and the famine and the pestilence. I'm going to go into Sodom and Gomorrah just like that man. I'm going to lobby, my God. Can we save these people? If I can go in and find them, can we pull them out? My God, I'm not doing this for anything other than the fact that my heart is about to explode. And I'm going to keep on doing it, whatever it takes. I'm just one 53-year-old crazy-haired man with some crazy ideas of making the world a better place, because I got some beautiful grandchildren that I want to see grow up and know love. I want to see them grow up in a world that isn't like what we've seen.
Paul says, if we could bottle what's in your heart and pass it to the world, we would have a different world today. I love you so much.
Love you too. Well, it's old King Shaziz the Terrible bawling like a baby again, so it's time to get up out of here. I love you guys. Thanks again for another wonderful show. We got to keep this ball rolling, because it's the only thing that keeps hope alive in my heart, is to know that there are people out there that think alike. We can do this.
We all share your tears. We all share your tears, Shaziz.
Yeah, absolutely.
Was that ant that stood up to me?
Yeah, but we can forget about him.
Yeah, it was just one ant.
Ooh.
One ant.
Yeah, you're right. It's just one ant.
Yeah, boss. They're puny.
Puny? Say, let's pretend this brain is a puny little ant.
Did that hurt?
Nope.
Well, how about this one?
Are you kidding?
Well, how about this?
You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up. Those puny little ants outnumber us 100-1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life. It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back.
Does anybody else want to stay?
Old woman!
Man, sorry.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37, I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
There's some lovely filth down here! Oh! How'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
Well, that's what it's all about. If only people would
feel... Please, good people, I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot!
We're knights of the round table, we dance whenever we're able. We do routine to call a scene, to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table, our shows are more, we're able. So many times we give and rise that are quite unsingable. We're off from bad in Camelot, we sing from the die of Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
No, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.
Survive the Turbo and the Knights of the Round Table.